much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Come on. I know it's tempting to just mail it in, but there's still a lot of people who rely on us week to week. I think we owe it to them to be as inspired as we were in our first few years.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I have Bieber fever. I am in love with Justin Bieber.
And I was like, baby, 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 oh. Like, baby, 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 no. Like, baby, 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 oh. I thought you'd always be mine.
What's a baby?
Kevin and Bean, 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 Kevin and Bean.
Ben Anderson. And now.
15 degrees in Melbourne, a shower or two today, a top of 19, it's 3 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Kate Wilson.
Our feature presentation.
I love her so much.
Well, you're right, she's the only one in the building. What do you do?
What do you do? I don't know, that has that happened on our show? Have we had somebody go into hysterical hiccups?
You.
Did I go into hiccups?
Oh, yeah. You had them for, like, all morning.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Maybe even a couple days. I don't remember. It was a long time.
That's right. I totally forgot about that. And they were painful. They were the kind of hiccups that had gone on for so long that it hurts every time you hiccup. And, yeah, it just kept happening.
We took suggestions on how to stop them. None of them worked.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, good times.
You could have been one of those people that hiccup for the rest of your life.
Hey, there are people like that who literally have them for years. So I'm glad, and that's your fear every time you get hiccups is what if I turn into one of those people?
I've never been afraid of that. I have to be
really, because neither were the people who it happened
right.
to though.
But
remember, they had that girl on the news a couple of years ago who was one of those girls, and it just looked like a miserable existence.
Right, but when I have a hiccup, that's not where my mind goes first.
You know that I concoct the worst possible scenario.
Correct, and then
in my mind,
yes. When someone's late, Bean goes, I hope they're not dead. And I go, whoa, and he's serious about it.
Because they're 5 minutes late, there are a lot of other options at this point. But, yeah, I do jump right to they're probably dead. So. Yeah. Hey, this one is welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, first of all. It is, I guess it's what, Thursday, maybe?
It's Thursday, yeah.
Thursday the 20th, we'll say 4th. 4th, whatever it is.
Sure.
So this is an awesome, awesome story, and I should have done a post on this at KevinB.com. Maybe there's still time, but you got to see the video of this to really appreciate it. San Diego lifeguards Tuesday rescued a young woman who apparently became stranded on a cliff above Black's Beach. Now, Black's Beach, are you familiar with this? I think it's down in North San Diego County.
No.
And it is one of those clothing optional beaches.
Oh, yes.
And they don't get close enough for my taste, but she looks like she could be anywhere between 18 and 30, maybe. Very thin, looks from the distance like she's a very pretty Asian chick.
Wow.
Who decided to go climbing on the cliffs above Black's Beach. Yes, naked.
All right.
And she got stuck. She gets stuck on a ledge, can't get down, can't get up. So I guess she has her cell phone, or somebody sees her and calls 911 because she's stuck on there, and they send out the rescue crews. So you got a naked young woman on the side of the mountain. This is the part of the story that I love so much. Dozens of lifeguards and firemen responded.
We'll help.
I'm there. To Torrey Pines Gilderport at around 2:15, according to San Diego Fire and Rescue Department spokesperson Maurice LeCoux. It took them about 30 minutes to rig a series of special rescue ropes. A female lifeguard then rappelled about a third of the way down the 500-foot cliff to the exposed ledge where the exposed... Oh, here it is. She's 27. She's a 27-year-old woman.
Sweet.
She was stuck. And you can see all of this on the video. You can see how they, and it's hilarious, by the way. She's out there and she's butt naked and they're getting ready to, you know, to put the harness on her and, you know, pull her up on the rope from the helicopter. And, they put a hard hat on her. And I'm thinking, I'm completely naked, yet you're putting a hard hat on me, right? After hooking the young woman up in a rescue harness, the lifeguard helped her rappel to the beach several hundred feet below where she was provided with clothing. The entire operation took about an hour from start to finish. The young woman was unharmed. She will not be charged for the rescue because it was so much fun for everybody.
It was entertainment.
Right?
Yeah.
She just became stuck. This happens all the time at Torrey Pines and Mission Trails. Park rangers cited the woman for disregarding signs and entering a restricted area. She then walked up a hiking trail from the beach to her car, which was parked near the Gilda Port, and got her own clothes. So how's that for a crazy call that goes into 911 that there's a pretty hot 27-year-old woman naked on the side of a mountain?
But you, but I'm sure they didn't say there's a pretty hot girl. I mean, they probably didn't describe her. Mid to late 20s, guys. Have at it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that their response would have been just as professional had it been a 400-pound fat dude. But I somehow don't I don't think that dozens of lifeguards and firemen would have come out there to try to rescue a 400-pound fat dude.
They are doing their job. They just want to make sure that it gets taken care of properly.
I just love this story so much. I mean, this is, you know, they see so many bad things in their line of work. It's so nice that they can look back on this one forever and just, you know, just laugh about it and remember the good times.
She didn't even have, like, a backpack or anything. The clothes were in her car, so she got out of her car naked and just went for the hike.
Yes, huh. And decided to go for a hike and climb down the mountain.
Right.
So she's a goer. I love her.
What if she's trying to get to the beach?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're, as usual, so many unanswered questions. And the video, by the way, comes from... I don't know what the station is in San Diego, but it is Channel 69 on the video.
Sure.
No joke.
That makes me doubt it.
No, it's a true story. Right. This definitely did happen. But anyway, I don't know her name yet, but I do love her, and she is certainly a candidate for Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day.
She will be yours?
She will be mine.
Yeah. No, you know what's weird about that is I've been to one place where there was a topless beach, and you go, yes, this is great, nudity, this is going to be great. And then you realize, like, people's grandmas are out there. And the ratio is not good. It's not in your favor. You really have to go digging quite some while before you find someone hot.
Right.
So that's a bummer. But this is the only girl there, and she was smoking hot is what I'd like to believe.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are a horrible human being. I don't care what happens to you.
You haven't heard yet to judge. It's Book Thursday, as we do every Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, or whatever day we happen to book an author. Neil Strauss is going to be our guest. He has written a book called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. And he's worked for Rolling Stone and New York Times, every single magazine, newspaper available. And he's interviewed everyone. I was looking through it. I was just thinking, I'm hard-pressed to find a name that he didn't talk to.
Wow.
You know, Lady Gaga and just everybody that exists that's out there, he has interviewed. And
he's a good interviewer, too.
This is kind of like it's a perfect book for me because he doesn't put all of the interview in. He basically puts only the really good stuff. And a lot of times he had to leave that stuff out when he published it for the newspaper, the magazine, or whatever, because they want to keep a good relationship with whoever. If it's Rolling Stone and Lady Gaga says something that's embarrassing, they leave it out because they want her to come back and do another interview. So he put this in the book.
Like the part where he didn't include in the article, but I think it's in the book, is that Paris Hilton told him that she doesn't like black people, for instance. That's the type of thing that, you know, you don't necessarily want to put in the article in the paper, but they're gross, she said, according to author Neil Strauss.
Wow.
Yes.
She was talking to was he interviewing her?
Yes.
Oh, my God. She didn't even have the sense to realize she was being interviewed?
She's not the brightest person on the earth.
We're also going to talk to the vice president and general manager of crack.com about a book called You Might Be a Zombie.
It is Book Club Thursday.
It is, yeah.
Look out, Oprah. We're taking over.
We're going to move some units today. We are going to talk about Danny Pudi, who is one of the stars of Community.
He's Abed. He's awesome. I love him because he only relates to television and movies, so he is definitely my man.
He is you. That's true.
Yeah.
How many of these live shows do you think Charlie Sheen will get through? Because I'm putting the over under at 2. I'm gonna go less than 3. I think that's a pretty good bet because it's gonna go south quick, and he's not gonna like it. He's gonna pull out.
So all those people who bought tickets for the later shows, whether it's from New York City to San Francisco and in between, you're saying they're gonna be getting refunds?
Well, clearly I don't know, but I'm guessing. Yes, I would. Right. I would certainly guess so. Yeah. And a new Wheel of Bad Animal Voices too, by the way. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Hey, party people. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Ralph Grumman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. I got to be honest, Ralph. I'm no fan of your Pia. Nice performance last night. Nice. She's got a good voice.
Burn. Woo.
Is this American Idol talk?
Yeah,
American
son. Idol. Yeah. Motown great, night last night.
Very, a lot of talent on the stage last night. I was thinking even Kevin might have enjoyed some of those performances.
I think
last night.
He would have.
Even Kevin might
if
have enjoyed.
If he could just for a second just open his mind.
You guys still talking?
Open your mind, Kevin.
and see, your ass will follow.
Here's the thing, and I was thinking about this, and I don't know why I care that Kevin hates American Idol. I guess it's because I think he could really enjoy it if he would, like you say, just give it a chance. But Tracks of My Tears, you may hate because it's old, but it's one of the most well-written songs in history. I mean, it's a brilliant song, and when you see somebody out there who does a great job with a song that's brilliant, what's not to enjoy about that?
Well, it's never as good as the original.
Okay.
Well, but this version was so different, you wouldn't even have compared it to the original.
Okay. And
this is like a singer-songwriter guy, just a guitar on stage, everything. He did sort of an acoustic version of it. It was very cool.
He did it himself. Oh, yeah. That's talent. Yeah. I don't need to hear a 40-year-old song.
Kevin. It is bad if it's old. I did forget about that.
Oh, Kevin.
I've heard it.
So, anyway, I wanted to give, because I've been critical of P, and I'm still not a huge fan, but I will say last night, very, very impressive last night. One of the best performances of the night, and I know you love her. So.
I do, and I'm saying it's going to be her and James Durbin in the finals. That's what I'm predicting. Those two.
Wow.
Make it all the way to the finals.
And my man Casey, I was not impressed with, and I love him. He did her to the grapevine last night. I did not think it was that good.
See? Not enough people have sung that song, too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, he's going to say, oh, do we really need to hear that
fried.
Again ever?
Little fried.
It's 50
exactly.
years of Motown music you can choose from, and you're going for the song that was sung by Raisins at one point. That's where you're going.
And better.
All right, Ben. I see how you roll.
And just one more thing. I'm having a private conversation with Ralph since he won't talk to me off the air. It's bye-bye Fia at this point, right? It's so long, oh. Fia. You're out of your league, right?
I don't know if it's... It may be Thea, it may be Lauren, it may be Haley. I mean, any one of those girls could go. So,
okay.
I mean, I think it's going to be a matter of degrees which one of those goes tonight. Because
what's Haley's the point of this story?
Haley's going to be on the stripper pole by the end of the year anyway, so it doesn't matter.
She's hot.
Sounds, though, like your complaint last year, both of you, was that there was no talent. This year,
it's horrible.
Like,
this year, the girls that I just mentioned, who will, one of them will probably go tonight, in another season, probably would have gone deep, deep, deep into the finals because they're fine singers. They really do a good job.
Right.
But the rest of the contestants are just so far and above and beyond. And they're really, really good. And good in the sense, like, as we were mentioning, you would enjoy it because they have a unique sound. They're different. It doesn't sound like
karaoke.
Yeah. Really, really talented people. So this is amazing to me this season how American Idol has not only survived the major overhauling with the loss of Simon Cowell and all that stuff, but actually thrived, improved over the past couple seasons, I think. So,
all right.
Convinced you yet?
Nope.
I didn't think so. All right.
Don't have time.
Let's move on. Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some tickets to give away to the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Source Code. This movie looks great. It is Jake Gyllenhaal, Michelle Monaghan, Vera Farmiga, Jeffrey Wright, action-adventure thriller. Soldiers got to find a bomber on a Chicago commuter train. If he doesn't, boom.
And then...
Then back he goes again. They put him back in time, and then he goes and tries to find the guy again. Boom. He's got 8 minutes every time he shows up on the train.
How come only 8 minutes?
Because that's as far back in time, as I guess, as the source code will send you.
Huh.
What am I? Captain Source Code? You come to me, you want some source code? You're right. Not now, not never.
Maybe give him 2 more minutes, I'm saying, and he could probably solve it.
Well, go see the movie, then you'll see what you think. Three pairs of passes right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's a number to call for the screening on Wednesday, March the 30th. If you don't win, though, don't worry, because it's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 1st. Liz Taylor died yesterday, as we mentioned, and just as soon as she did, guess who announced their plans for her funeral? That's right, the Westboro Baptist Church. They have announced they will be protesting outside of Elizabeth Taylor's funeral.
Well, she did try to save the lives of those suffering with AIDS.
She did. She was an AIDS activist. She was an enabler of the gay, they say. And so she has to be protested because God does not like the gays. And, you know, God sent AIDS to Earth, according to the Westboro Baptist Church.
I know we have a free society and that comes with its downsides. I get that.
Supreme Court just said that about the Westboro Baptist Church, Kevin.
I know. But seriously, black ops, take them out.
Is that what you're saying?
What damage is that going to do?
Who's going to miss them?
Just hate mongers are gone.
We got to protect our Constitution, man.
I know.
It's hard.
Publicly, I know that's true.
You have to defend the rights of speech of those amongst us who are the most reprehensible in order to have a free society.
I understand that in my head. And yet my heart wants them to drink some poison.
Well.
Not traceable.
They are cultish. It could happen. They could do it on their own. They could break out the Kool-Aid. Who knows?
Isn't that family just going to eventually die out and it'll just scatter?
There's not like there are new members joining this quote-unquote church, right?
No, but the family remains strong. I mean, there's plenty of younger siblings and stuff in that family that could take over and plan to take over when Fred, the old man, kicks the bucket. So
yeah. All I know is when we went down to Comic-Con last year, and they were outside of Comic-Con, it was, I always thought that they were a big presence and they made a big deal. It was really pathetic. It was like two people, and they were surrounded by thousands of people who wanted to get at them, and the police had to protect them from the crowd.
There may only be, I think, 20-25 members of this so-called church, so they're not a big group. They're just loud.
So I'm saying we could take them out pretty easy.
Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
All right. Kevin would rather live in a country where the government eliminates people whose speech they don't approve of than allows them to protest.
I think Kevin wants the government to do it.
I thought he said black ops.
I think he wants to do it, like his secret, whoever, his secret police.
I could take care of you if we wanted to, but maybe we could put it on the ballot, though. Maybe if everyone voted, this is an exception.
First Amendment for everybody except for these 25 people.
Okay, are you in favor of the First Amendment, but Westboro gets kicked out?
Wow. I want to be there protesting at Fred Phelps' funeral when he dies.
Oh, that's going to be the best. That would be great if we just get a big group of people down there.
Yeah, like 10,000 people.
God hates Fred. Big sign. God hates Fred.
Freds.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't bring you guys any joy like it does them.
That'd bring me a little joy.
Kind of a bummer.
It would bring me a little joy. When it comes to Phelps, it would bring me a little joy.
Yeah.
Britney Spears is already talking about aging. She told Star Magazine this week, "When it's time to pull and tuck, I'm sure I will consider it." I think she's been pulling and tucking for way too long, quite frankly, personally. That's what I think.
She's talking about plastic surgery?
Yeah,
is that what
she's talking about, yeah. All right, go. It's time. Tell her. Time is now.
How old is she now, Ruff? Did you mention? I'm sorry.
I did not mention. I believe she is...
Upper 20s still?
Late 20s, yeah.
27, 8?
Yeah,
something like that.
By the way, I found out today that Beer Mug, who's filling in for Psycho Mike running our controls here, is 27 years old. I thought he was 45.
Oh, how dare you? He is a youthful...
He looks terrible for 27.
He does. Youthful, virile young man.
27 if he's been living on the street.
Oh, come on.
I'll say this.
Well, he looks like a street person. Don't get me wrong, but I think he looks like a young street person.
He's wrung every bit of excitement that he can out of life. I'll give him that.
Kevin, would you have guessed 27 for Mugs?
Yeah, he looks young.
I don't know.
35 if he's a day.
The beard sometimes is a bit of a...
The beard.
A throw-off.
The bloodshot eyes.
Right.
He kind of
the incontinence.
Does...
I think that's an indicator of age, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not
the gout.
Gonna...
He's got the gout.
He's clearly halfway through his life. However old he is, he's halfway through his life.
Saying he's middle-aged, no matter
he's
how
on the
old
downside.
He is.
It's all downhill from here.
All right. Us Weekly magazine also has an interesting article about our buddy Travis Barker from Blink-182. They have a list of things you didn't know about Travis. I think you might be surprised, even as well as we know Travis, about some of these facts.
And by you, you don't mean Bean. You mean everyone else.
No, not Bean,
okay,
of course.
I read the article, but sure. Go ahead.
He runs between 4 and 7 miles every day. Did you know he was a long-distance runner?
I would have never thought that.
I never would have guessed that myself. Travis is colorblind.
I didn't know that.
Can't distinguish between red and green. How about
that?
He got tattoos, so he was forced to be a musician and not get a regular job. He got the tattoos on purpose because he knew if he was tattooed enough, he wouldn't be able to fall back on a day job because no one would hire him at that time.
It was a
like
preemptive strike.
He was trying to force himself to follow his dreams by getting all tatted up.
It worked.
That's the most interesting thing to me is how committed he was to making it as a musician. He would do that to himself.
And he was inspired to play drums by... Who do you think was his big influence, Kevin? Don't raise your hand, Mug. I'm not going to call on you. This isn't a classroom. I'm asking Kevin.
He's pretty young. I don't know.
What drummer do you think had the biggest influence on him growing up as a young man?
Dave Grohl?
No, sir.
I don't know.
Animal from the Muppets. When he was a little kid, he would watch Animal play the drums on the Muppet Show and said, "I want to be a drummer."
Animal doesn't play the drums, though, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true, but I don't think maybe little Travy didn't know that back when he was a kid. So
he thought, I can let my hair go. This is great.
Wear a big wrought iron chain around my neck. Be awesome. Christina Aguilera has joined the 21st century and sent out her first tweet yesterday.
Right.
Woo!
I'll bet it was good.
Christina's tweeting.
I'll bet it was good.
At the demand of NBC for her new show, The Voice.
Christina is tweeting. I was trying to think, why would she all of a sudden, she had no interest in tweeting yesterday, and then suddenly she wants to tweet. And then I thought, oh, of course, she's one of the judges on the new show, The Voice. And I don't think NBC probably came to her and said, yeah, we'd like to use Twitter as a way to publicize the show. If you could get on there, that'd be great.
So she sent one and now she's done?
She sent one so far.
This is their answer to American Idol? This is their music show?
Yeah, okay. This is their show. But, Kevin, the twist is,
Yes.
They turn their backs to the singers when they sing. Ha! Ha, 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 ha! Gotcha!
Seems a little rude.
No, it's so they can just hear the voice and they won't be judging on the appearance or sexiness or physicality of the performer.
It's quite a gimmick.
Oh, it's the voice. It's all about the voice, Kevin.
What if they just have them sing behind a wall? They have to walk out.
No,
and then
they have
turn
to turn their
back
backs. All right. Christina tweeted, brace yourselves. That means more tweets are coming.
Wait, that's it?
And she also said she's so excited to connect to her fans. I can tell how excited she was. She waited until Twitter was 74 years old before she got on it. So.
I talked someone into joining Twitter yesterday, and that someone did and sent his or her first tweet.
And then they blocked you immediately?
I'm sure that's still to come.
It's happening today, yeah.
Happen, absolutely, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doto is now on Twitter.
Yeah! Oh!
Doto wow. Okay. Is now on Twitter.
I may have to follow Doto.
I take it
back. I don't follow a lot of people, but I may have to follow
you
him.
You were right. We were wrong. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I thought it would be a fantastic way for us to keep tabs on the International Man of Mystery, and I'm eager to see what he's going to be doing for the world.
As am I. Yeah, what he's going to be doing for the
for
world.
The world.
He'll probably cure a disease. That's my guess. One of the big ones.
Just had a buffet.
Hemorrhoids. No.
He's not curing anything.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Good batch. Good batch of birthdays today. All people I like for the most part.
All right.
Born today on March the 24th, comedian Louis Anderson is 58 years old today. Louis Anderson. You know Louis?
Not really.
Big, big, heavy set comedian. Talks like this, Louis Anderson. Yeah.
I don't know.
It does Vegas quite a bit. Very okay. Funny guy. He was once working out in the same boxing gym that I worked out at. And he was hitting the heavy bag. And he's a big, uncoordinated... that guy.
Is he funny?
And he's about 6'2".
Oh, all right.
He's very funny. But he's working as and just hitting the bag. And so my trainer said, he said, Louis, I'm surprised you didn't get into professional boxing. You really got a gift, you know, kind of busting his balls. And he said,
yeah, it's got to be. Actually, my first love, I wanted to be a jockey.
A jockey?
It's because he's 6'2", oh, he's like 400 pounds. Yeah, he was being funny.
Oh, that's funny.
It's very funny.
They're midgets. They have to be midgets.
They do. Laura Flynn Boyle. Ooh. From Twin Peaks, is 41 years old today. Now, is she the one you stalked, Bean, or is it the other one?
I didn't stalk anyone. It was not the actress you're thinking of.
It was the other actor.
It was the other one.
Jim Parsons from that TV show that's very funny, The Big Bang Theory on CBS. Now, here's going to surprise you. He plays on the show, what, like a college kid on the show?
I don't
early 20s? Best case scenario? 38 years old, Jim Parsons is.
That is shocking.
Packed with the devil?
38 years old.
Wow. He's the anti-beer mug.
He is. He's beer mug's bizarro. Allison Hannigan, our buddy from Buffy and from How I Met Your Mother, is 37 years old today. Colts QB Peyton Manning is locked out and 35 years old today. They got to fix this NFL thing. It's starting to make me nervous. Yeah. I don't like it. And actress Lake Bell celebrates her 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
Got a brand new Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices for you coming up this hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, very funny actor Danny Pudi, who I don't know anything about until I started seeing him as a bad on Community. I don't know what else he's up to, but man, he's talented. And he'll be joining us in about a half an hour or so, too. First, though, are you trying to make money off of your prediction here? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah,
you're trying to get
bet.
An office pool going?
Yeah,
is that
wanna,
what's happening?
I want to get some bets down because I think Charlie Sheen and this whole live tour thing is going to go so poorly that I'm willing to bet anyone that'll take the money, and that is an over-under of 2 shows. I think he's going to get through the first scene. He's going to get a lot of booing and hate, and then he's going to go, this sucks. And then he's going to go, but at least tomorrow's better. And then he's going to do the second one, and it's going to suck, and he's going to go, I'm out.
Now, Charlie Sheen is doing the My Violent Torpedo of Truth, Defeat is Not an Option show. And this is his way to make a bunch of money. I think Harvey told us that if he does perform all of these concerts, he'll pocket around $7 million from this tour. He's playing venues that look to me, based on the ones I'm familiar with on his tour schedule, 3,000 to 6,000 seat venues. The first 2 sold out in Chicago and Detroit. On his website, you can go and see the rest of the lineup for the other dates that he has scheduled. And I don't see any others that are sold out. They all have links to buy now next to them. So I don't know what that means in terms of the interest already waning in what Charlie Sheen has to say. That's been our beef, is that we feel like we've already seen enough of what Charlie Sheen has to say. Why pay $50 to go out there and sit in a room and watch him say more, right?
If you heard him the first time he came out when he went crazy, you've heard everything he has to say. Everything else is just a rehash. And so he... when he does it live, people are, and by the way, part of that, you know, message that he's been putting out there is everybody else is inferior to him. Well, that's not going to make a crowd want to cheer for you.
Except for those people he'll say are winners, though, because they're there seeing him. It's going to be everybody else who's not there with him that he's probably going to be bagging on.
Yeah, this time. Right.
But he has been, when he was on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show the other night, he didn't do an interview. He just basically came out to throw T-shirts into the crowd and kiss Jimmy on the lips, giving him every sexually transmitted disease available. He did say that he was busy writing a show right now, so sure. It sounds like he is putting some thought. He has tweeted photos of what he calls the Nerve Center, which is a bunch of people sitting around in his house on computers, apparently, I would imagine, we're supposed to believe that they're working on content for this show. It does look like he's planning. We don't know yet, but it looks like he's planning on doing more than just walking out on stage, sitting in a chair and talking.
But don't see, here's the thing. That's a different skill. Standing in front of 6,000 people is a completely different skill than somebody who reads other people's lines in a TV show or in a movie.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
And
that's
it takes years to get comfortable doing that. He's just going to step out there and he's going to say stuff like,
"The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning."
And people are going to go, "I heard that. What else you got?" And then he's going to say winning, and then you're going to go, "Yep, okay, check."
He tweeted a photo yesterday, by the way, of him. He's behind somebody who's working on a computer in his house, and naturally, this person is an unbelievably hot, big-breasted woman who's I don't know what she's doing for Charlie besides the
what
obvious.
What do you think she's doing?
But he's standing with his winning T-shirt on behind her, looking over her shoulder. And I'm thinking, well, if you're hiring the writers based on how hot they are, I don't know how good this show's going to be. All right, so you're saying Fox Theater in Detroit, that show will happen on April 2nd. Chicago Theater in Chicago, that show will happen on April 3rd.
Yes.
And then you think he's going to wake up on the morning of the 4th and he's going to go, "I can't do this anymore. It's too hard, or I don't like it, or people hate me."
I would suggest he might walk off during the second show.
Wow.
Because here's the other thing. He's an actor. He's a TV actor. He's a movie actor. You don't get immediate feedback from that. And if he gets immediate feedback from a crowd that's right in front of him in real time, let's say the place starts booing, what is Charlie Sheen going to do? He's going to freak out, start yelling, "I'm a winner, you're all losers." And then they're going to boo more, and he's out. He's not going to sit there and just take that because he's had to have his ass kissed his whole life.
Right.
And now there are a bunch of trolls, as he calls them, in the audience are going to be booing him. He's not going to follow through. I'm saying two shows. I'm saying he might not even get through the second.
All right. So 1.5 to 2 shows is what your pick is. Yeah. He has 20 on the schedule, by the way. And if you're listening to us right now and you bought tickets, say, for the San Francisco show, which is on April 30th, that's 18th on the list. That's the 18th show out of 20 that are scheduled so far. So what you're saying, Kevin, is go ahead and feel free to make other plans that night because you're probably not going to have a concert to go to.
I don't know anything, but I'm suggesting that when he walks out on stage and says,
"Newsflash, I am special and I will never be one of you."
All right. That's not going to go over well.
I don't know.
And he doesn't have anything new.
I don't know. I mean, he does need the money, and he may show up just for that. But, I mean, it's worth an hour and a half a night for him to bank this amount of money. And he does have access to people who would help him. I'm having a lot of trouble coming up with a number on this one. You know, remember the last time we played this game was when Michael Jackson announced 50-something dates in London.
Right, right.
And we had an office pool on how many of those dates he was going to do. And I won that pool, and my guess was zero. I never thought he'd do the first one because I thought he was such a control freak and he would put so much pressure on himself that the show would never be good enough for him to be ready to do that show, and he would never want to perform again. I didn't anticipate that he would, in fact, die before those shows happened, but he ended up doing zero. With Charlie, I don't know.
You think he'll do more than two?
I do.
He's an egomaniac, dude.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm sorry, man. I got magic and I got poetry at my fingertips.
Yeah, he says stuff like that, and people go "F you."
And I also think that the reviews are probably going to be scathing, and that's not going to make him, after he's done with Detroit and Chicago, he's not necessarily going to want to fly to Cleveland to do that next show,
right?
And then on to Columbus, and he's going to, at one point, you might be right. He's going to go, "I'm Charlie Sheen. Why am I spending my night in Columbus, Ohio?"
Yeah, getting booed by a bunch of nobodies. I think that's going to be the worst part, is that it's just a common man, and he's been proclaiming how special he is, and they're not going to treat him that way, and it's going to be awesome. Everybody's going to videotape it on their little cell phones, and he's going to run off. He might not even get through the first show.
It's all good. It's all good, guys. Quit panicking.
Not panicking. Just take a bet. I'm saying two shows, no more. Who wants to take some action on that, Bean?
I'm willing to I'm going to say he's going to do all the shows.
All of them.
I'm going to say he's going to do them all.
I'm going to say he's not going to do any then. Come on, let's be realistic. There's you no think possible that, way he's going to do all of them.
You think that's absurd?
Of course.
I think he needs the money. I really do. I think this is easy, easy money.
Not as easy as if he had just kept his mouth shut and done two
well,
and a half
minutes. Well, there is, Jeff. And you're right. By the way, there is another option that I didn't even think of until just right now. He's still hinting that, and it has been reported in the press, that maybe he's still talking to CBS and Two and a Half Men may pick back up. And if they do work out their differences and he does re-sign to come back to that show, he won't need this money and he might just blow off the whole tour. He might just cancel all of them.
He'll just get up and say,
losers winning. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right. Well, we couldn't be any more different than if you're saying 0 to 2 and I'm saying he'll do all 20. But I guess we're going to see what happens. It's going to be fascinating to see after, you know, on the morning of April 3rd when we wake up to find out what the details are on that first show that he does. I can't imagine it's going to be
horrible
good.
Reviews. People are going to all everybody's going to videotape it on their little cell phones, right?
Of course.
And it's going to be on YouTube all over the place. And then people are going to and if two people start booing, everyone else will join in. I mean, it's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
I can't wait. That's going to be so fantastic.
It's going to be the spring of Charlie Sheen or not. I guess we'll just have to wait and find out.
He should just come out and perform this song.
Charlie Sheen. Sorry. Winning. There's my life. Deal with it. I'm an F-18, bro. I mean, duh. We are high priests, Vatican assassin warlocks.
I never need anything. Boom.
You've been warned, dude. Bring it. Boom. Sorry, man. I got magic.
Let's see magic.
And I got poetry at my fingertips.
New poetry.
I'm different. I'm better. Watch me bury you. Conduct is bitching. So I guess I'm just that goddamn interesting.
No, you're not.
Genius. I mean, duh. But I have tiger blood and Adonis DNA.
Heard it. What's new? What else you got?
I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Heard that. What else?
Let's talk about something exciting. Me.
Yeah. Heard that. Not exciting.
It's on. Bring it. My motto now is you either love or you hate. Love, and you must do so violently. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view. Oh, wait, can't process it. Losers. I don't know. Winning? Anyone? There's a new sheriff in town. Winning. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, presenting Rise Against a Bad Religion, sold out at the Long Beach Arena. Keep listening to score tickets and access K-Rock's Meatless Barbecue with the bands. It's a meatless barbecue. Well, why? I don't know.
Because they're vegans. Because Rise Against are vegans, that's why.
Right.
Like tuna.
So
they like to eat a lot of tuna.
How much of a barbecue are they having?
Like all right. Tuna.
It's 626.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Danny Pudi. Is it Pudi? Is it Pudi?
Yes,
what
Pudi.
Is it?
Pudi.
Pudi. Pudi. Danny Pudi. Abed on Community joins us later on today. Plus, it's Book Club Thursday. We've got some fascinating authors on the program today. And that's what you tune into the Kevin and Bean Show for. No, trust us, you'll like it. First, though, Ralph, I'm glad you're here. It's time for the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices.
No.
What's on the wheel here today, Kevin? It's been a while since we've spun it.
Let's not. Let's try it. Let's see what happens when we don't do it. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe things will get better if we don't do it.
Bean and I love this.
I know.
And we think if
that
you hear
should
it,
be reason enough for us not to do it.
True. But we think if you hear it one more time,
then
you'll come
over.
Around. Yeah.
All right, you watch American Idol tonight, and I will. Right. I'll play the Wheel of Animal Voices.
Story number one is killer bees in Florida.
Nope. Oh, I wonder what they're up to.
Probably killing things.
The Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
Stop it. Stop this lame ass bit now.
The bird cow fish party in heaven.
Rip that off the wheel now.
How
I
dare
insist.
You?
It might land on it, though, Ralph. We don't know.
Smokey the cat with the loudest purr. Okay. The sword winged ancient
you
ninja bird.
You
want
to talk to a cat because it's got a loud purr.
It's not just loud, Ralph. It's ridiculous.
It's the loudest purr in the world.
Heidi the cross eyed possum. And Prince, the dog that can't take a hint. So those
I
are
hope
our
it lands
stories.
On Prince.
Those are our stories on the wheel.
We can stop now, you know.
Get
it's
prepared
not
for
late.
Goodness, people. Here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
No.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and
out once, you'll see.
I don't want to stick around. In fact, I'm not. I'm leaving right now. I'm not.
No, we haven't even spun the wheel yet.
Care. Come on,
I'm leaving now.
All right, let's see what it's going to be.
Spin it before he gets out. Ralph, it's the Smokey the Cat with the loudest purr.
Don't care.
It's Smokey the Cat with the loudest purr.
How loud is this cat's purr?
It's really loud, Bean. I think normal cats purr at about 25 decibels, and Smokey is right at about 80.
Oh, my God.
So at Look, least three
I,
times.
I live in a house with four English bulldogs, so I know from snoring and I know from loud. But I doubt they're 80 decibels, though. That's crazy, crazy loud.
Let's hear the reporter tell us this fine story.
We're all used to a bit of noise around the house. The phone ringing. The vacuum cleaner. But in the Adams household, they have to put up with something even louder. This is their pet cat, Smokey.
Is that a cat?
They got her 3 years ago from a rescue centre, and she's been purring ever since. And this cat never shuts up, even when she's eating. On this reading, she's made it up to 81 decibels. You'd get a similar sound level standing near a lawnmower or a busy roadside.
Oh my God.
She's reached over 85 decibels. That's the starting point for dangerous levels of sound, which could even lead to hearing loss. The cat could now be on track to set a new world record.
Yep. Oh my God. Hey, when can we start our new feature, Is That Guy British or Retarded, while we're at it? Well, we asked producer Alex to light up somebody for us in the household, and I think we have either Ruth or Mark Adams on the line from Britain to talk about Smokey, the cat with the loudest purr in the world. Hello there.
Oi, how you doing?
We're good.
Is this Mark? Is this Mark Adams?
No, this is Smokey the cat.
Oh, you're Smokey. What are the chances on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices we end up talking to an animal?
Yeah, what are the odds of that happening, eh?
You sure are loud.
What?
I said you sure are loud. Yep, there it is. That's the purr.
Is that a natural sound, or are you just trying to torture your family?
No, that's the way I purr.
What do you suppose that's...
Hello? Yes,
why are you screaming at us, Smokey? We're here.
What?
We can hear you fine. Quit yelling at us.
I'm not yelling.
Yes, you are.
I think you are.
I don't believe I am.
Okay.
Maybe you're a little deaf because of all the purring.
What?
I said,
maybe you're deaf... From the purring.
Yes, no, I'm quite alive, thank you.
Oh,
we were saying you might be having trouble hearing because you're around that loud noise all the time.
What?
The loud noise that you're making.
Yeah?
Right.
No, they're not here. This is Smokey.
What? We already established that. We know we're talking to you.
Wow, that's an annoying sound, Smokey.
It's me purring.
Well, you need to stop purring. Can you do that?
What, pudding? No, thank you. I'm quite full.
No.
I just ate.
We were talking about purring. You said that's how you purr.
Herring? I don't eat fish. That's not one of my favorite meals.
Have you ever heard your owners say something that sounds like Kitty Lake?
What? I heard that.
Yeah, Kitty Lake.
I don't like that idea at all.
Well, you won't shut up. Why do you make that?
What?
What? Why do you? You're not gonna let.
Sorry, you spun the wheel now, aren't you?
Very much.
I'm just saying, Beer Mug is 27, and that really surprised me. That's all.
I know.
I mean, or 28? Was it 28 bugs? I can't remember.
27.
27. Might as well be 87. Thanks. Look at you. This Thanks. Is just, it's so shocking to me when you find out something about a coworker that you thought you knew, and then you go, what? It's like somebody you've worked side by side with for 10 years, and then you find out they're married and have kids. It's like just, it turns your whole world view upside down. I'm like, how did I not know that? I just assumed you were a guy who, I don't know, had like some sort of middle-aged itch or something like that to get into radio. You know, like you were a guy who'd worked in securities and commodities for 25 years, then you thought, hey, I'll do something different. I'll go work for Kevin and Bean.
So you're mistaking wrung out as old.
I guess that's what it is.
This is the guy that last year after St. Patrick's Day woke up in a bush. So right. I mean, that takes its toll.
Yeah, the partying definitely. One regular year of aging on most of us looks like one regular year of aging. A year in the life of Beer Mug is like 8 years.
Right, yeah. It's like dog years.
Well, the next time Dr. Drew's in here, we got to give you a physical or something, because I'm very concerned. You may not make it to 30.
Wait until you see the video that we're going to have tomorrow of Muggs playing a little Casio keyboard shirtless while Psycho Mike dances and I train.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Thursday is a big, big night of television because Thursday night on NBC has all great shows plus outsourced. We're very excited to welcome our friend Danny Pudi back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is one of the stars of Community. He is abed on the program with a very special episode tonight at 8. Danny, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
What's up? How are you guys?
We are good.
It is great to talk to you, and let me start by saying, as an actor, congratulations. The most happy phone call in the world must be when you get that call that says, yeah, you guys are renewed for another season.
Yes. And actually, you know, in the modern age, that doesn't even come anymore. What happens is you get direct messages on Twitter or like 12 texts in a row saying congratulations. And then you're confused because you're like, congratulations on what? I didn't do anything yet today, did I? It's Thursday morning.
So you find
out,
from people's,
out there.
You found out from people's reaction to the news that the news had been announced.
Yes.
Excellent.
Still a great way to find out, because I'd rather find out that way than not find out at all.
It's a good system,
yeah,
sure.
Of course. And it's such a weird life that you have when you're on a situation comedy or any kind of television show, because, you know, most of us, we have a job and we're relatively sure that we're going to have this job in a month and in 6 months and in a year, right? But if you're working in your business, I imagine there are times when you go, yeah, I'd sure love to buy a car, but I may not have work in 2 months, right? You really have to kind of plan it out.
You really do. You know, thankfully, I grew up in an strict immigrant household where we're hiding money under mattresses and stuff.
All right.
So I'm used to kind of like playing it, you know, kind of a very conservative. But, yeah, especially in the acting world, you really don't know. And in TV now, you know, shows get pulled all the time. So you kind of do have to be really careful. But I think everyone can kind of relate, because across the board now, yeah, I think no one is safe.
Yeah, right. What is it that they liked about you, do you think, that got you to be Abed, who's one of the most fascinating characters on television? Were there any similarities between Danny and Abed?
Probably. There's probably a handful that if I start exploring, I'll probably discover some crazy things about myself.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's a couple things. I mean, Abed, first of all, is a character who is biracial and grew up in a household with a single parent, which are both similar things with me, Danny Pudi.
Mm-hmm.
But Abed has a very unique kind of point of view. He speaks very quickly. He doesn't really have a filter. He's very honest. He sees something. He observes it. He recognizes a pattern. He says it, you know. In terms of Abed himself, he's sort of an encyclopedia of pop culture. I don't think I have that knowledge. You know, I grew up memorizing statistics on baseball cards and stuff. But I think there's some kind of, you know, there's a tie-in there.
You know what's funny is that your character is very much like Bean. And that is that he only pretty much relates to TV shows and the internet, and that's basically it. Human contact, not so good at.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there is something about this fascinating about Abed. His comfort zone is in television and film, and graphic novels and stuff, because it makes sense. You know, there's a sort of beginning, middle, and end that he can relate to. He understands at this point in the story, the hero does this. But at the end, you know, the hero will come back, save the girl.
The way you play him, Dan, is so interesting to watch, because it's almost like when I'm watching you on the show, and I do love you on this show, it's like there's a little computer operating in your brain where you're actually trying to analyze rather than feel what's happening in the room.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I always think that there's a lot of people who are, you know, trained to, you know, we've been trained to kind of feel things and then kind of always express our emotions. And Abed just has a different way of looking at situations and approaching them, where his emotions, he's just very confused by them.
Yeah, right.
And it's a lot easier for him to kind of make sense and put things in order. It's the same reason I vacuum consistently. Or it's someone who likes to fold their, you know, their bed sheets a lot.
Sure.
It's just kind of a different way of really kind of organizing the world and trying to make sense of it.
What was your background? Did you do comedy before, or had you done a lot of acting before you got the audition for Community, or are you basically brand new to the business?
No, I've been doing acting and comedy for a while. I started at Second City probably, 2003, 2004, and moved to Los Angeles in 2005. I'm from Chicago. And for the last 5 years or so, I've just been kind of, you know, making my way up, you know, doing commercials here and there, guest starring on some TV shows. I was on Gilmore Girls, Greek, a couple of shows. I'm West Wing, ER. And, you know, just kind of hoping for, you know, the right role to come in. In 2007, I played three different Sanjays, so that was a good year for me. and then the role for Abed came in, and I read the script, and I was like, I just loved it. And I was like, I have to play this role. And at the time, Joel McHale was already tied to it. And I did a pilot with Joel a couple of years ago that didn't get picked up. Chevy Chase was attached, and I found out the Russo brothers, who are incredible. They're the directors and producers, who did Arrested Development, which is one of my favorite shows.
Classic. Fantastic. Yep. You know, we used to be really good friends with Joel McHale. He's too big a star to come on the Kevin and Bean show much anymore, but we used to have him in all the time to promote his, you know, the soup, and then when he started getting the stand-up. And I remember very specifically telling Joel that this show was never going to make it. I do remember saying, Joel, you're a fool, man. It's never going to make it. You're signing your own death warrant. Here you are getting ready to be picked up for season three. So it shows how much I know about TV.
Yeah, well, none of this makes any sense. I think if you would have told me that this show would be picked up, you know, for a third season, first of all, last week, I wouldn't have believed you. So I think that it's, you know, we're very, very fortunate, you know, especially just in today's, you know, the whole modern TV landscape, to have a show that goes to a third season, a comedy. You know, I can probably say that if you would have told me in the beginning that I'd be spending 3 years with Chevy Chase, you know,
yeah.
I think most of America would have said it's not possible.
Yeah. But Chevy, we're doing it. I know it's just his character. He rarely looks like he knows or understands what's going on around him.
You know, I don't know if it's just his character.
Let me ask you one more question, because we're almost out of time here. We're on with actor Danny Pudi. Of course, he is Abed on Community with a special episode tonight at 8. I would never, if I were you, and maybe you can't do this because you're at work, I would never stop trying to have sex with some of your co-stars. Jillian Jacobs, who plays Britta on the show. Alison Brie, who plays Annie on the show. Two of the hottest women on TV. That must be very, very difficult for you to concentrate when you're at work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. The good thing is I am married, very happily married, so that's kind of my, you know, relief.
She's listening. Makes it harder to get away with it, that's all.
it's a good problem to have, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Gillian and Alison are both lovely, very talented, and, you know, Yvette Nicole Brown, too. So we have a lot of, you know, very attractive women around where... it makes the day go by a lot quicker.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a very funny show. Kevin, do we have time? Do we want to play the clip real quick?
Sure.
Or no?
Yep.
Okay, let's play this clip, because if you've not watched Community, you get a feel for the rhythm of Abed on the show, who is one of the fastest talker, one of the smartest people on TV, as played by Danny Pudi. Listen up.
Did you start dating him and now you want to tell us horrible things about him?
What? No.
Good, because Luca's going to teach us how to break the will of an entire village by killing their livestock and desecrating their places of worship.
That sounds horrific.
Ugh, girls are so undesensitized.
Community airs tonight at 8 on NBC. Danny, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Thanks so much, Bean. Appreciate it, guys.
Ralph Garman joins us every hour at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, is Crystal Harris, the fiance of Hugh Hefner, cheating on her?
Well, yeah.
Wait, is she cheating on him?
He's 100. She's 30 or something. Not even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rumor is she's been seeing Dr. Phil's son, Jordan McGraw, behind Hef's back.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't upset till that.
Insult to injury, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, how do you choose that?
They were spotted at the Chateau Marmont, where onlookers said he tried to hold her hand and kiss her shoulder in public. This will not stand for Hefner. I'm sure he'll have him killed.
Doesn't Hef have a pretty strict policy? He kicks you out of the mansion if you don't keep up with his hours and his desires?
Well, that's for the playmates. That's for the girls who work in the magazine.
Oh, I see.
If he lets you
okay.
live at the house, you have to abide by the house rules, which is there's a curfew and you got to jump through a certain number of hoops.
And you can't date anyone named McGraw.
I don't know if he's got that for his fiancés or not. But look, they may have an understanding, because I'm sure Hef isn't planning on being monogamous when they get married, right?
He's not planning on being alive.
How
I would imagine.
Dare you, sir?
Did you see him at Dancing with the Stars the other night? He looks like he's got one foot in the grave already.
Well, look, he's not a young man.
He's not.
What do you want him to do?
We're all in agreement.
You can't blame the guy for getting older. It happens to all of us.
I can't.
Wow,
I can't
blame, you're really rough today. You're picking on poor Beer Mug, saying he looks old, and you Hefner looks old.
Well, Hefner doesn't look as old as Beer Mug. Don't get me wrong.
When you look like Bean, though, it's so easy to judge the others, because he spent his whole life as a matinee idol.
That is true.
Yeah.
Nope.
You may remember a couple weeks ago I brought up this new song by country music artist Trace Adkins.
Oh, the worst song ever.
Brown Chicken Brown Cow, based on a punchline.
Yeah.
The joke, of course, is what are the sexiest animals on a farm? And the answer is brown chicken, brown cow. Because it sounds like porn music, see?
Yeah.
So they took that slight joke, which isn't really even a very good joke, and made a song out of it.
A full song out
full
of
song
it.
Full song and video.
Mm-hmm.
Trace Adkins, brown chicken, brown cow. Here's a little taste of it.
Now the hay needs hauling, the hogs need stop, the corn needs cutting, but the tractor stop. They're climbing up the ladder, clear to the loft, shucking those dirty old work clothes off, singing brown chicken, brown cow.
No! No!
Brown chicken, brown cow.
No! No!
The single was released 9 weeks ago, and Trace Adkins, this week, has apologized for Brown Chicken, Brown Cow.
Wow.
He's apologized for one of his own songs?
Yes. You win.
I win. I was right and he was wrong.
He was wrong. He should have apologized. He
said
never done
he's sorry. He's sorry about Brown Chicken, Brown Cow. He's very sorry. His excuse? He was on the red carpet apparently to promote The Lincoln Lawyer, which he appears in with Matthew McConaughey. And he said, they told me it was a hit. I'm going to blame the three songwriters. So he said he's a little embarrassed by the song now.
He's just
so
embarrassed because it wasn't a hit?
Yeah, he wouldn't apologize if it had been a number one record. He would have stood behind it, it sounds like.
He should have apologized even if it was number one.
Only to number 39 so far in the Billboard's country chart. But the video still is very popular. Remains one of the most popular videos on CMT.
And it is worse than the song.
It is puppets. It's puppets basically having sex in a barn while animals watch.
That's distasteful.
It involves bestiality, then puppet sex, and country music. Three of the worst things in the world.
Yeah, it's not a good mixture.
Yeah.
No.
Nora used to work on a country station. Didn't you? Didn't you used to work on a country station?
I did.
Station?
How'd you know that?
Because,
research.
You know,
but luckily I haven't heard that song ever.
You haven't heard that one?
Until this morning. Thank you.
So bad. You have to watch the video. You really have to search out the video. It is so unbelievable. Make your head explode.
Yeah. Well, he
anyone tries to torture you with Friday, the Rebecca Black song, you just come back at them with the Trace Adkins song and you'll win.
You
win.
But he apologized, and I am not, you know, I'm an open-minded guy. I accept his apology, that's all I'm saying.
Does he have any other songs that are good or bad, or do we know anything else about him?
I don't know much about Mr. Adkins' body of work, but I know Brown Chicken, Brown Cow. Let's talk about good music, shall we? Gwen Stefani, she has donated $1 million to the Japan Earthquake Tsunami Children in Emergency Fund.
Wow.
That's quite a donation. The Save the Children organization set up the fund to help out the relief efforts in that country, and Gwen has also designed a limited edition shirt that will be sold exclusively through NoDoubt.com, and all the proceeds from that will go to the emergency fund as well. There's also plans in the works for a charity auction and a fundraising event through Gwen's Lamb clothing line and No Doubt as well. So they're doing a lot to help the people over there, and it's very cool to see them.
They need a lot of help.
If she can just write a check for $1 million for Japan, what kind of money does she have? That's what I wonder.
Like two.
She has at least two, right? You got to save one for yourself.
Right, sure.
Give one to Japan.
You give it all away.
That's right. Crazy. And more music news. Weezer is putting in a guest appearance on the MTV sitcom The Hard Times of R.J. Berger. You guys watch that show?
I've seen it. I don't regularly watch it.
It's about a sort of a loser in high school who becomes more popular once it's discovered that he's a giant personality
down there
in his pants,
right?
Yeah. And Weezer's gonna stop by because the name of the high school that he goes to is Pinkerton High, which was named after, of course, the title of Weezer's second album.
They were sucking up from the beginning.
They were. Well, they're big fans over there. So Weezer's performed its latest single Hang On plus the Pinkerton track El Scorcho, and that'll be on in a couple weeks. You can check that out on MTV so you can see that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Louis Anderson is 58 years old today. Actress Laura Flynn Boyle celebrates her 41st birthday. Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory is 38 years old today. That really surprises me.
Me too.
Looks so young on that show.
The opposite of Muggs.
Allison Hannigan is 37 years old. Colts quarterback Peyton Manning is 35. Actress Lake Bell is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, party people. Welcome to Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yesterday, I couldn't get enough of the Elizabeth Taylor tributes on TV. They were happening all afternoon and all night. Kevin, I assume you avoided them as much as possible.
Yeah, are you being serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some fascinating fascinating programming on last night.
Let's see one.
Tribute to Oscar winner Elizabeth Taylor, who died yesterday. And one of the people who wasn't around to mourn for her is her good friend Michael Jackson. You know, they were practically best friends for 25 years or something like that, which is just so strange to me to think about those two. Like, what would they have in common? Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Jackson. Super big friends.
But we thought, you know, we got the hotline to heaven. Let's dial it up and get Michael on and find out what he's thinking about this very sad day that he's lost his friend. Or I guess a happy day for him because his friend has joined him. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Woo! Get on!
you sound happy. You sound like you feel good today.
I am. I'm very happy today.
Okay.
Because I'm getting a chance to set up a
What's happening?
I'm setting up a little lunch for Elizabeth when she arrives.
Okay.
And I'm very excited to be able to see her again, see my good friend Elizabeth.
You're cooking yourself?
Yes. Huh. I'm preparing a meal to welcome her here to heaven.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you make? I don't even know what they eat in heaven.
Oh, clouds.
Clouds. Why do you need pots and pans then?
Harps.
That's a good question. Why do you need a kitchen to make a harp?
I'm kidding. No, we need just regular food. Just
regular food.
Food that Elizabeth would like. Like a side of beef and, a giant cake.
Okay, right.
Things like that.
Now, some of the newspaper articles that came out about Elizabeth Taylor yesterday, they gave her credit for giving you the name the King of Pop. I don't think I'd ever heard that before. Is that true?
Yes, yes.
Wait, I heard you gave that to yourself.
No, Elizabeth came up with that. I said, I'm going to call myself the Queen of Country. And she said, first of all...
Maybe misguided.
Not a country artist. Second of all, a dude.
Right.
And I said, oh, yes.
But
that's
just
a great
barely.
Idea. So I just, King of Pop just seemed to fit better.
I see.
Yeah.
They say that you two bonded together, became such close friends, partly because you both had what you describe as a horrible childhood. Both of you were super famous when you were, 10, 11 years old, and right. So you could relate to one another.
Yes, both being child stars had a big effect on our lives, and we were able to share that. And so it was great to have someone that I could talk to about those experiences, and she could confide in me, and it was a great experience.
What is that?
Bring it back, guys. Just bring it back.
What's happening now,
Michael?
I'm
dropping off lunch for Elizabeth.
Sounds like an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, it's a semi, yeah. Woman
How much?
Woman liked to eat.
She
was not a thin woman. What I'm
okay.
getting.
Why are you piling on your poor dead Fred? Come on.
I'm trying to make her welcome. I'm trying to give her a nice meal.
Yeah, you don't want heaven to underwhelm you.
No. You don't want to show up and give her a quarter pounder with cheese. You have to show up and make a feast.
I see.
This woman could eat.
Is that what you're saying? Is that the point?
She was not a... She did not eat like a bird.
Right. Right.
She didn't skip a lot of meals, it sounds like you're indicating to us.
She could tie on the feed bag.
Sure.
But I'm kidding.
She ate your food, too, it looks like.
She would eat.
Yeah.
Right.
A considerable amount in one sitting.
Now,
getting at.
Elizabeth Taylor was also one of your most high-profile defenders when you were going through all the child molestation charges. She was the one who said, look, I've spent plenty of time in Neverland. I've hung out with Michael and the kids. There's nothing funny going on.
Right. She often wondered why I would never hit on her.
Yeah?
That woman would eat. Boy, would she just...
Now, what's that?
I had to bring in a construction crew.
Oh, my God.
Just to make the meal. They're just...
Construction crews aren't known for making meals.
We've got an elephant here. They're just chipping the meat off the elephant.
For the next 10 years?
No, just for lunch.
Just for lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
And, of course, we're going to have to put some supports under the roof, too.
Right.
In heaven? I wouldn't think you would have that kind of trouble.
More important in heaven than anywhere else. You don't want her plummeting to earth. After she eats too much at lunch.
This has been a very educational... Can you get the guy to move away with the jackhammer? Is that
Omar,
possible?
Back away with the sledgehammer there.
Who's up there with you?
It's an angel named Omar.
There is no angel named Omar.
How dare you, sir.
Hey, Michael, we're almost out of time, but I have to ask, since we have you on, jury selection is beginning in the trial of Dr. Conrad Murray. I don't know how much you've been following the case. He's the man who's accused of killing you that night.
Yeah, I know who he is.
You aware of him?
I know who Dr. Conrad is.
You recognize the name?
Thanks for updating me. I appreciate that.
I thought maybe our listeners might need the update.
About your listeners. You said it to me.
That's
I know
true.
Who he is.
All right.
But he's claiming that you took your own life, that you grabbed a syringe and stabbed yourself with it and killed yourself. What do you think
of
that?
I did. I hooked up my own IV line. I started giving myself propofol. I was sleeping, then I woke up, gave myself some more, sent him out of the room to take a phone call.
That sounds unlikely.
Yeah, because he's a lying sack of goo.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I take it you'll be following the trial with interest then, and I don't need to give you updates.
No, I think I got it pretty much handled.
He's an MD, and he does private practice sometimes.
He does?
Yeah, he'll come over to a person's house.
Oh, he sounds like a fine, fine fellow.
Have fun with Elizabeth Taylor today. I hope you enjoy your lunch, Michael.
Easy
thanks for talking to us.
You're not picking up the tab.
Rock is KROQ. We got music from Adele coming up, a brand new artist. I don't think she's even had an album out yet. Very interesting. So we're going to play that coming up.
Second
here.
One. What? Album. It's
what?
Called 21.
What's that?
And she's amazing, and it's a song called Rollin' in the Deep. We got phenomenal response to it when we played it yesterday, so we're going to play it again coming up here in a few minutes.
World famous K-Rock at 720.
All right, here's an update on a story I thought was long gone. You guys remember Alexandra Wallace? She was the chick at UCLA who recorded the YouTube video that has gone on, I don't know, like 10 million views or something like that.
The unfortunate rant against Asians.
Yes. And Kevin and I were talking about this off the air, too. A few years ago, she would have said, yeah, I'm tired of the Asians on their phone in the library. She would have said that to her friends, and they would have laughed and moved on, and that would have been the end of it. Now, like a retard, she decided she's going to put it up on the internet, and it causes an international firestorm from people who say, why are you so stupid? Why are you so racist? And maybe it was unfortunate timing to pick the day that the tsunami hit Japan to be, you know.
Well, I don't think she... Did she choose it on purpose? Did she?
I thought that was her rant. Her rant was because of people in the library who were receiving information from people in Japan because of the tsunami.
If that's the case, it's way worse than I thought then.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why she's such an idiot. So anyway, here's a little clip of that video, and then we'll tell you what has happened now with it.
Typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to, like, reach an epiphany...
By the way, after watching this video, she's not reaching any epiphany.
Over here from somewhere... Oh! Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong! Oh! Are you freaking kidding me? In the middle of finals.
Right. We're freaking kidding you. That's what we're doing. So anyway, she has since left the school, by the way. She, at one point, was going to start taking her tests in private because her class schedule got out there and people were hunting her down. People were looking for her. Then she started receiving death threats, and then she just threw up her hands in the air like she just didn't care and said, it's just not worth it. I'm going to leave the school, and I assume she's going to go someplace else to finish her
education.
Under a different name and in complete anonymity. Yeah. Anonymity.
Right, that.
So anyway, so there were a lot of answer videos, and there were some very funny songs. But now there's a new one from a comedian who has put together his own video. We have this up at kevinandbean.com, and we're going to welcome KT Tatara to the show right now to find out what his take is on this situation. KT, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Happy to, man. Was it you who emailed or a fan of yours that emailed to tell us about your video?
I emailed it, actually. I thought it'd be cool. I know you guys have the internet roundup videos.
We do.
Stuff, so,
yeah. KT is a stand-up comedian who's going to be performing at the Comedy Store in Hollywood this Friday and Saturday. So are you one of them Asians?
I am one of those Asians.
All right. So what happened? What was your reaction when you first heard about the Alexandra Wallace video?
Well, you know, some of my fans were like telling me to watch it, and I don't really get mad at that kind of stuff. I feel like, you know, you're only making yourself look bad, and kind of like you guys said, it's like, you just say it to your friends and whatever, but the fact you posted the video is kind of funny. So I watched it, and I wasn't offended. I just kind of thought it was funny. I thought it was unfortunate that it was getting to the death threats and all that kind of stuff. I was like, well, that's not really it. I was like,
that does seem silly, but
yeah, it's like too much. So I was like, I'll just make something that kind of just makes fun of the stuff she said, and then move on. So
yeah, and one of the things about comedians, by the way, why I like having them on the show and hanging out with them is comedians are rarely offended by anything. I'm sure you've probably made more Asian jokes than any 10 white people I can round up on the street, right?
right. Well, you know, it's funny. It's like I talk about that sometimes on stage, that I don't like to make too many Asian jokes because I feel like we're the only minority. We get made fun of while we're still in the room, right?
Right.
Like,
sure.
No one hesitates. No one looks around first. People just go right in the joke, like, hey man, these Asian guys smell like fish. Oh, no offense, man. Anyway, the Asian guys.
You're right. They don't make the jokes behind your back like they do with some of the others.
Yeah.
So you decided to do a video, and I think we're going to play some audio from your song that you did. And do you have is music part of what you do in your comedy act too?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I was a music major in college, so I write songs every now and then just kind of for fun, but I just do, you know, regular stand up on stage. But I make videos every now and then with like music and stuff.
Smart. This is a good one.
What do you what do you need us to know about it, or have our listeners know about before we roll the tape?
You know, it's just kind of a basic fun song. I was just messing around. Personally, with the video, I thought it was kind of funny. I didn't really touch on this in the song, but that she's a political science major and that she's saying this inappropriate stuff. I was like, okay, wow. I guess I don't know where you're going to go with that.
Yeah, she's
and,
good.
Also, the video was edited, which I thought was really funny. It's like there was like jump cuts. Like, what did she leave out? Like, this is the stuff she chose to leave in.
Oh, that's a good point.
She took out the non-offensive stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway. This is KT Tatara. His video is called Asians in the Library on the Kevin Devine Show. Listen up.
I go to school with hordes of Asians that don't know manners for any occasion. It's finals week, so I hit the library. What rhymes with library?
Library.
I'm checking out girls from overseas when I see a white girl sitting next to me and she's about to reach an epiphany. So I pull out my phone, dial home, and say,
Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong. Ching Chong Ling Long Ting Tong.
Yeah, if you're Asian and you laughed at that, you got a good sense of humor about yourself. And if you're white and you laughed at that, you're racist.
Yeah, we didn't laugh.
That's it's just a joke, everybody.
That's a shorter version of the song. You can find it on kevinandbean.com. You can see the whole thing. It's very funny. Very well done.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, guys.
KT Tatara on stage at the Comedy Store in Hollywood this Friday and Saturday. How's that comedy career going for you? Is it, I mean, it's obviously it's hard to get noticed, hard to get the career to take off. Is it working out pretty well for you?
Yeah, it's been going well. I mean, I've been doing stand-up about 10 years, and, you know, I perform at all the clubs in town, and I perform at colleges, you know, regularly. It's all over the
country. Are people going to start demanding that song now? You're going to have to bring a band with you?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I'll come up with, you know, something else. You know, I think everyone's going to get sick of hearing Ching Chong. Also, I think, like, everyone running around to me saying, hey, Ching Chong Ling Long guy.
You right,
know, that might be a little wrong.
You don't really want to be known as that guy?
Yeah. No. No, you don't. Yeah. Well, thanks for emailing us. Thanks for thinking of the Kevin Devine Show and coming on, too, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
It is Book Club Thursday on the Kevin Devine Show, like always. And author Neil Strauss is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. He has written a new book called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead, with interviews with everyone you'd want to hear. She talks about drugs with Dave Navarro. She talks. He talks to Jane's Addiction about their obsession with aliens. He talks to the members of Incubus about their peeing fetish. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in this book. So we're looking forward to talking to Mr. Strauss. That's coming up in about 25 minutes or so here on the Kevin Devine Show. You remember Serene Branson, Kevin? Remember she was the reporter that had that meltdown on camera?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Concerned everybody so much. She was working for Channel 9 in Los Angeles, and all of a sudden she had a migraine or something, and some sort of a brain fart, and this is what came out when she was trying to talk.
Well, a very, very heavy heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite, and let's go to Terrace and look for the bit, the head of the pit.
And at the time when it happened, we all thought, Kevin?
Yeah.
And then we realized it wasn't you at all. It was Serene Branson.
And everybody bent over backwards to say, oh, it had to be something medical. How come that's not true for me?
It turned out it was something medical. Oh. Unfortunately, she was completely fine. And it hasn't happened since. She's back in there and everything's fine. Well, it happened again two nights ago to a reporter named Mark McAllister, who's working on Canadian television. He is, I'm going to play some tape for you here. He is coming out of a taped piece that he had done on the war, serious topic. And then, you know how the piece ends, and then the reporter standing in the studio, and he picks up the story with additional information. So you'll hear what he normally sounds like coming out of the tape, and then you'll hear what he sounded like this night when he was having one of these weird migraine incidents.
Meaning it may have only just begun. Mark McAllister, Global News. Now, Defense Minister McCain McLeod did confirm today that more than 18 fighter jets are spending about as much as 20 and ready to assist the 600 deployed over the amount needed. Now,
I don't buy it.
Dude.
That's a dude screwing up.
No.
Because you can tell what he's... You can identify words.
You can identify words, yes, but they were in no kind of order, and he was making no sense, and it went on like that for like 40 seconds.
Let's all bend over backwards for everybody but Kevin.
Dude, I'm telling you, in this case, he was having an incident.
He was using words. She wasn't.
And then there's the story that I love so much of little Kate Wilson. She is the reporter who was doing the news recently at 3 a.m. She was doing the National Radio Network News, and she got a case of the hiccups. We had time to play a few seconds of her yesterday, but we've got a little bit more time today. You're going to love this because she sits down to do the news, and all of a sudden the hiccups start, and she is on the air to the nation, and she has no way to stop. It's not like she can put something else on and leave the room. She can't turn off her mic and, you know, and try to fix the hiccups. She's pretty much stuck with it, and she does the very best she can.
3
KKW 693 News.
15 degrees in Melbourne, a shower or two today, a top of 19, it's 3 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Kate Wilson.
Now, when that happens, you know that there is panic running through her mind because she realizes, I just hiccuped on national radio, now what do? I've got to read an entire newscast.
Right, and you don't, I think when you first hiccup, you don't know if it's just one.
Right.
Or if you're never going to be able to stop it till you die.
Right.
Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has urged his supporters not to believe the lies he says are being told about what's happening in their country. He's again blamed al-Qaeda for the violence which has spread across Libya and threatens his regime. Gaddafi was speaking in front of supporters at a ceremony to mark 34 years of his country's people power style of government.
And as you're listening to this, all you're doing is just waiting for the next
one. Of course. How long is it going to be until?
Counting the seconds.
Meantime, a Libyan warplane has bombed an area near an ongoing clash between pro and anti-Gaddafi rebels. No casualties have been reported from the blast in the eastern town of Breja. Four toddlers have had a miracle survival after a car crashed through a cubby house at a Maui childcare centre.
Now, if this happened to you, Kevin, would you be able to go on and not crack up?
No, I'd have to at least mention it.
Acknowledge it, right?
But, you know, the difference is that we talk about nonsense. She's talking about serious news stories. I mean, I don't know how you go. I just say, I guess I would say, I apologize for that. I can't stop. I don't know.
Right,
I don't know
right.
what you would say.
Because I guess you're right. She doesn't want to break character as being a serious news
writer.
So she just plows on.
The children, all age three, were playing when a car plowed into them shortly before 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Strong winds have hampered the recovery effort in Christchurch, stirring up dust and debris, including corrugated iron. The confirmed death toll has risen to 160. Superintendent Dave Cliff says families of those still missing have been able to tour the devastated area.
By the way, and the other sad thing is, have you noticed the content of the news that she's doing?
It's all super depressing.
Super serious news. Kids getting run over with cars and the war going on, and she's just trying to do it and keep a straight face. Well, they interviewed Kate Wilson from this Melbourne radio station afterwards to find out. This is one of her bosses that put up a YouTube video after this thing went viral to talk to her about what was going on that night in the newsroom.
Kate Jay Wilson.
That's me.
Who, during the 3 o'clock news this morning, while talking about Muammar Gaddafi, and what was the other story in the news?
It was the whole news.
Children dying.
In the middle of all that, Kate managed to hiccup 19 times. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I can't believe someone's counted them. I just sat there and I looked at the time and it was 2:58:30. And I'd hit all my buttons, you know, I put the desk on air, brought up the cast, and then I just kind of went, and I went, oh. And I went, oh, no. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm burping, and I'm what can best be described as trying to generate saliva in my mouth so I had something to swallow, because, you know, sometimes without having water. Hey. So anyway, so I just, 3 o'clock, I can hear the theme going, and I went, right, I'm just going to have to do it, deep breath, off I go, and I just kept going. I nearly lost it at the end, but I managed to maintain it, and microphone was off. Had a big laugh. Yeah.
That's the difference between her and us, is she nearly lost it.
Nearly lost it. The message is, no matter what you think of the Kevin and Bean Show, at least for today, we're not the worst broadcasters in the world.
Okay, tied for.
Why is Adele so good, by the way?
That's a tough question
talented,
to answer.
I guess the answer
she
would be.
She just is?
Rolling in the Deep is the name of that one from her album 21, which is awesome. But don't just get that. Get 19, the one that came before it, too. And she's just bragging that she's 21.
I don't have
she
one
sing like that.
Through 18 yet. How many?
No. Started with 19. That was the first one. That was how old she was.
How do you start with 19?
Anyway, Adele, A-D-E-L-E. Check her out. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's going on?
A lot of celebrity legal news today. Charlie Sheen got some bad news. He's been denied his trial by jury in his case against Chuck Lorre and Warner Brothers Television. The affair will go to an arbiter.
He's having an affair with that guy?
No, the legal affair. Oh. Gilligan will never get off this island. Arbitration is the call because that was what was in his contract initially when he signed up to do 2.5 Men. So, he was hoping for a televised trial in front of a jury.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. The attorney
Before Warner Brothers said, despite Charlie Sheen asking for extraordinary relief to stop the arbitration, the court's ruling was not a surprise. The judge found no emergency existed and ordered Mr. Sheen's attorneys to follow normal procedure in their attempts to halt arbitration of this dispute. So
he may not be alive much longer. How about that?
How dare you? I don't know if you were part of the... I know you weren't part of the conversation in here, but I don't know if you were listening in the other room when Kevin was predicting that he will do two or fewer of his 20-date tour this summer.
Yeah, I know. And you said all.
I think he'll do them all. Because I think he needs the money.
I think it'll fall somewhere between.
Well, pick a number.
Whoever's closest. 21 dates,
doesn't
right?
matter if you go over.
21 dates
yes.
in the tour.
Mm-hmm.
I say he will finish... 2 weeks will be enough for him. Ten shows.
So what will happen at the end of 10 shows that you think will cause him then to walk away and cancel the remaining dates?
Exactly what's going to happen after the second one for me, which is that he's tired of it.
I think he's going to get tired of traveling, and he's going to want to be with his goddesses back at the mansion mm-hmm. and be winning and warlocks.
$7 million, though. Most of us could hang on for a couple extra weeks if we were going to make that kind of money.
Yeah, but you're going from zero to 7 million.
Right, he's going, yeah, right.
He doesn't even know he needs the money, really. And he's going to figure out the money will come from someplace else. So I don't think he's going to be that concerned.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of Two and a Half Men, there is no rumor, according to Warner Brothers, that Jeremy Piven has been asked to replace Charlie on Two and a Half Men.
Interesting.
I think he's better than that show, quite frankly.
You never liked the show much.
No. But I think if he would be good in it, I think he's really good. And certainly he could play that type of character. But I think he's better off than that show.
Who's Jeremy Piven?
He is on Entourage. You know who he is. Stop it. More casting news. HBO is doing a film about the 2008 election called Game Change, based on the popular book about the same subject matter. It's been announced that Julianne Moore will play Sarah Palin. And yesterday it was announced that Ed Harris has been cast as John McCain.
Great choice.
All right.
Great choice.
I think it is a good choice. No word yet on who has been cast as Barack Obama. Apparently producers right now are asking actors to come in and bring their birth certificates.
Is that right?
They want to make sure you're born in America before you get to play the role.
Or you're not.
Or you're not going to play it.
What you believe.
Oh, please give it to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. That could happen. Gwen Stefani has donated $1 million to the Japan Earthquake Tsunami Children in Emergency Fund. The fund was started by Save the Children, a great charitable organization to help fund relief efforts in that country. Gwen is also designing a limited edition shirt that will be sold exclusively through NoDoubt.com. And all the proceeds from that shirt will go to the Emergency Fund as well. Other celebrities involved in charity, Queen guitarist Brian May has announced he's starting a fund to save the Badgers.
What?
He wants to save badgers.
The animal, the Badgers?
Yes. Okay. No, the football team, the Badgers, Kevin.
I don't know. I thought you were still talking about Japan. I didn't
Not
make
the connection. Japanese Badgers.
I didn't know what you were talking
Badgers
about.
In general.
All right.
University of Wisconsin involved somehow?
Yes, the University of Wisconsin football team. No, apparently in Wales, where he currently lives, they are going to cut down on the local badger population because these adorable little guys are spreading tuberculosis to cows.
Mm. He doesn't care about the cows?
I just hit Bean where he lives. Did you hear that? Right. He's very upset now.
Like a
cows
kill
are all, coming down with TB.
It's like
burn it down.
Punch to the gut for Bean.
So they want to take out the badgers to save the cows, but Brian is upset. Wrote a letter to the Welsh Assembly calling the proposal an inhuman act of vandalism. He only has until May 23rd when, if the vote goes through...
Vandalism would just be if badgers. You tag the badger. It's not... You kill
That's
the badger.
True. You're not spray painting the badger.
Vandalism.
Vandalism. It's badger side is
right.
what it is.
It's a little more heavy than that.
Yeah. No word on whether the Welsh Assembly will repeal the vote or not, but he is fighting like hell to save the badgers.
Well, they got to listen to the guy in Queen. That's what government does.
Because he was in Queen?
I'm just saying.
He's not an actual Queen.
Right. I'm just saying it's hilarious, though, that, you know, he probably thinks that his opinion carries some weight because he was a guy who was in a rock band one time. You know what I mean? Like, who cares what he thinks about the Badgers?
Wow. Bean really hates the Badgers now that he knows.
I love Badgers.
Wow. Now they're against cows.
Giving cows TB. Yeah.
I do have to side with my cows.
Bean owns
though.
Cows.
Sorry.
That's why.
I didn't even know that cows could get TB.
I didn't either.
They're some weak-ass animals, those cows. Give me a burger. And Lindsay Lohan has rejected the plea bargain in her case. It's going to trial. She, of course, has been slapped with a felony theft charge in relationship to a $2,500 necklace that was allegedly stolen by the actress in January. Her lawyer, Sean Hawley, went to the judge yesterday and notified that they would not take the plea bargain deal, which included a small amount of jail time and 3 years probation. They want to take their chances in front of a jury of her peers. Now they have to find 12 coke-snorting, drinking starlets.
In the right town.
Allegedly. That's true. Allegedly, yeah. So I can't wait. I hope they televise that trial.
Me too.
I want to be on that jury too. I want to be on the Conrad Murray jury, and I want to be on that jury.
And you're
no
one's peer. You want to be on every jury.
You're nobody's peer. That's the problem here.
But I can be objective.
No, you're not. It has to be a jury of your peers. They'll look at you and they'll go, he lives on an island by himself. He has animals. He hates people. He loves death. No.
But somebody out there is going to get a jury summons and they're going to hate it. And then they're going to find out that they're on the Lindsay Lohan jury. And all of a sudden their life is going to get very interesting.
No, it's not. It's going to get horrible. Jury duty sucks no matter what case you're on.
Wrong.
Well,
at least I want to be a professional juror.
And this was an interesting list from Us Weekly magazine. 25 celebrities who dropped out of college. So you don't always have to have a college education to be a success. Kids, that's what we're trying to teach you today. Drop out of college and you will become a star.
Hey. Or stay in college and be like Kevin.
Here's the perfect example.
How dare you?
I graduated, Bean didn't.
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying there's a direct correlation between intelligence and a college degree.
Good.
But usually success in terms of a career goes hand in hand. Usually need a college degree to get someplace in this world.
Certainly helps, yeah.
Yeah. 25 stars who dropped out of college. Anne Hathaway never completed college.
Wow.
Ben Affleck never completed college. Ben Stiller. A lot of these guys became stars when they were teens and early 20s.
18,
which
19, 20.
A lot. For instance, Bruce Springsteen never finished college. But he was probably already playing big club dates by the time he was college aged. Claire Danes didn't finish college. Dan Aykroyd. Gwyneth Paltrow never finished college. And that bitch has to stop telling me how to live my life with her damn Goop website.
She sure
she
pretends
know?
To be smart, doesn't she?
Oh, she knows everything, doesn't she? Get a degree. Jake Gyllenhaal didn't finish. Justin Long didn't finish. Kanye West, Madonna, Matt Damon, Reese Witherspoon, Sandra Bullock, Steven Spielberg didn't finish college.
Wow.
Tiger Woods, Woody Allen, and Zooey Deschanel.
So from this study, we can tell college equals bad. That's the message, right?
That's right. Do not go
Don't go to college is the advice to the kids.
We're trying to spread. That's the message we're spreading. I want to give away some passes right now to the advanced screening of Source Code. Happens at the Block of Orange on Wednesday, March the 30th. If you'd like to see this new film starring Jake Gyllenhaal, who, by the way, also dropped out of college.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Happens on Wednesday, March the 30th. I've got two pairs of passes right now. First two callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of passes to see Source Code. If you miss it, don't feel bad because it's in theaters everywhere April 1st. You'll be able to check it out then. Celebrity birthdays. Comedian Louis Anderson is 58 years old today. Actress Laura Flynn Boyle is 41. Actor Jim Parsons turns 38 years old. Allison Hannigan from How I Met Your Mother and Buffy is 37. Colts quarterback Peyton Manning turns 35 years old today. Actress Lake Bell celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is, of course, Book Club Thursday. What's going on with you, Kevin, by the way, reading a book this week?
Well,
how did that happen?
This is a book that has been put together, I think, with people with ADD in mind. I mean, it really is like a chapter is like 3/4 of a page. So I go, woo, did a chapter. I'm going to do another chapter tomorrow.
And that's a huge accomplishment for you. The book that everyone is talking about, not just us, is called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead and is a collection of interviews over the long and storied career of author Neil Strauss, who joins us from Kevin and Bean affiliate station Live 105 in San Francisco. Neil, how are you, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure.
I didn't even realize until I was looking at your bio as we were preparing for this interview that I've actually read a bunch of books from you because we had Marilyn Manson on to talk about that book. We had Jenna Jameson on to talk about the book that you co-wrote with her, The Crew. You co-wrote The Dirt, The Crew biography. So you've been a busy guy. Have you interviewed pretty much everybody you had your sights on?
Pretty much, except for Michael Jackson. For some reason, I really wanted to get in there. I never could.
It's so funny. I was just thinking that today because I was telling Bean, he's interviewed everybody that you would want an interview with. And I haven't finished the book, so I didn't know if you ever got to Michael Jackson or not.
No, I was really close. I really wanted to kind of humanize him, but then that Martin Bashir guy got in there and just ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. Dumbass.
You've been writing for Rolling Stone magazine and for the New York Times and a lot of other publication over the years. Obviously, you're a go-to guy for celebrity interviews. What is it you think that you're doing right when it comes to interviews? Because let's face it, everybody interviews celebrities. Very few of those interviews are memorable or notable.
Yeah, no, it's weird because every time I'm done with an interview, I feel like I was horrible at it. I feel like I didn't ask the hard questions. Then I start transcribing it and reading and I'm like, oh, they've never said this stuff before. And I think it's becoming, because if you're curious, I think if you're naturally curious and not trying to attack them or judge them or ask them the same old questions, they start to open up if you really, I think it's curiosity. I think it's non-judgmental. I think it's deep listening because if they pause, if they hesitate, if they say something wrong, you get to dig in deeper. And I have a few little like tactics I use too.
Now, some of the people that you have that are in the book are people who have been interviewed hundreds of times. I mean, when you sit down with a Britney Spears or somebody who has been in the public eye and been interviewed hundreds of times since she was a little kid, what can you bring new? And there's nothing that you know about her that everybody else doesn't also.
I read that chapter. He read her mind, Bean.
Yeah. That's, you know, and I just remembered one thing I do is because I did that book, The Game, and I think we talked about that. So
sure.
Once I learned all these seduction tactics, I started using them in interviews for real to get people to open up.
So what did you me through that then? What did you do to Britney?
I'll walk you through it. So Britney Spears, it's the worst interview because really she doesn't need, you know, Rolling Stone. Like she doesn't need you. She's big enough.
Right.
So I was getting those one word answers. Yes, no, whatever. She just didn't care. It was just time in her schedule. So I thought, why don't I do what I've done? I'm like kind of all these girls doing the game, which is start teaching her something interesting about herself. So I told her what her eye movements meant when she thought. I taught her how to like find out when people were lying. And then I did this little kind of mind reading game with her.
Now, wait, before you get to the mind reading, were you lying about the eyes and stuff? Are you just making it up or did you know?
No, it's pretty true. It's pretty interesting. If you watch when someone talks by where their eyes go, you can tell how they think and whether they're lying or not, generally.
All right.
And she just, but as soon as I did the mind reading thing, she like just freaked out. She like ran around the room. She said, this is the best interview I've had in my life. And then she asked me to, turn off the tape deck and started like just divulging all the stuff about her life and what she was going through. And afterwards she like exchanged numbers.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What an impression you made on her. Now, could you have hit that if you wanted to?
Well, here's what happened. And I'm really bad about this, which is people want to make friends after interviews. I don't know about you guys, but I tend not to. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's some kind of failing of mine or something. But what happened was, so I didn't use the number. My friends obviously gave me a hard time. And I just said, hey, you know, if you ask her on a date or you go out with her. And this was like pre all the craziness.
Pre-crazy?
Yeah. And she, you know, what if she says, hey, he just wanted to go on a date with me. And that's why he wrote that bad article or something. So anyway, but here's what happened. Almost a year later, a little less, she actually called me on my phone.
Oh, my God.
She still had your number after a year?
Maybe she re-got it from someone else or something. I mean, yeah, she probably framed it. No, I don't know.
So, what did she want, Neil?
So I was like in the car with my parents and I was so shocked. I just said, yeah, I'll come over. And she was living in Malibu at the time. And I didn't know what she wanted at all. But I came over and it turned out like she had connected and she wanted to write a book and she had this little scrap of paper with all these notes about her life and sexually acting out and trying to escape the control of her parents that she wanted to start writing this book about.
Uh-huh.
And she was interested in maybe talking to you about being her ghostwriter or co-writer with that?
Yeah. And so we had the conversation and then like afterwards she started calling me a couple times. Then like her handlers, and this wasn't because of me obviously, but her handlers like took away her phone. And then that was it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You know what? It's so sad.
Maybe if you had written that book, she wouldn't have gone crazy.
I really felt like I needed to be good influence. I felt like she needed a good influence at the time. And it was really sweet. Like, she was, like, I think she was, like, pregnant with her second kid or something. But she lived across from my favorite surf break in Malibu. And she was like, do you think I can go surfing like this? And it was so, like, it just, you felt bad. Like, she was going through, like, a late emotional puberty or something.
Now, you've interviewed a lot of people. Ludacris, Courtney Love, Snoop Dogg, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Cruise, Madonna, I mean, Prince, Christina Aguilera. When these people act out after you've interviewed them, who's shocked you the most where you go, wow, I didn't see that coming?
You know what? You're never shocked because the seeds are always there.
You always kind of saw it coming from talking to them.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of someone now if you want.
Yes, please.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes. So Christina Aguilera, obviously, she's like the current acting out person.
Yes.
And she hasn't done that and people are surprised. But of course, the thing is, everybody who acts out, like almost every time they came, they lived in a home where like one where they didn't get love from their parents and they kind of at some point they acted out in the world. Everyone, the ones who don't act out are the ones who grew up with kind of unconditional love from their parents and sometimes and usually faith as well. It's just interesting. And with Christina, I think when we interviewed, it was the first time she talked about domestic violence and her father's kind of being abusive to her mother and her a little bit.
Now, a lot of this book is stuff like that. It sounds like when you're writing for Rolling Stone, you're writing for New York Times or whatever, you kind of had to leave the good stuff out, and that's what this book is, right?
Yeah, and some of the good stuff was in there, but sometimes not in the detail, or sometimes there was something I just didn't realize was good because, you know, you're just trying to get the story out at the time. Because I had every interview retranscribed for this, and I told the transcriber I want everything, every cough, every pause, every interruption, every background song, so they can be more like little plays than anything else.
But the reason I ask that is because if you're working for a piece for Rolling Stone, for example, Rolling Stone wants to keep a good relationship with them, so anything that's...
Oh, no, they don't care.
They don't care. All right.
You know what? I think... I've never had them like censor me and say, hey, this is going to ruin us or something like that. Or yeah, maybe I found sometimes if like a publisher of a magazine or the owner of some website is friends with someone, they'll soft pedal sure. them. But I found them tend to not to be scared because you know what it is? It's ego and those celebrities still want to be on the cover.
I got you.
This is the voice of author Neil Strauss on the Kevin Amin Show with us today. The book is in stores and available now called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. There's so many names and so many fascinating tidbits in the book that we're going to get to in a minute. But let me ask you one more interviewing question, Neil. And I'm so impressed with the way you do it and the rapport you manage to make with celebrities. And obviously, I'm really interested in this because we do a lot of interviews on this show, too.
Yeah.
How do you handle it when, like the example that you gave with Britney Spears, hey, turn off the tape machine. How do you handle it when they want to tell you something, but it's off the record? Like, I mean, I always think the journalist's worst nightmare is what happens to the poor kid in Almost Famous, where he gets the greatest story in the world about the rock band, and then they say, you can't print any of it, or we'll deny it if you do. What do you do then? Print it?
Right. I think, yeah, no, if they say off the record at the time, you've got to follow that. And sometimes they'll say off the record about ridiculous things. But if
meaning
they say afterward,
not important things?
Yeah, meaning it maybe seems important to them.
Oh,
like
right.
one artist had like, and I won't obviously say who, had like some hearing loss, and that was off the record. But nobody really cares. But that's a thing he has to bear.
Yeah.
But and sometimes it's good. But I'll give you an example of something that's on the fence, and let's get your guys' opinion, okay?
Right. Okay.
Interviewing Lady Gaga.
Yes.
And she said some things that were off the record when she played me her new songs from her new album. And said, please don't talk about these songs and what's in them and their titles. And I respected that, obviously, at the time because she said they were off the record. But she also said, we talked about ecstasy, and she said, I love ecstasy. Well, not ecstasy. I really like MDMA more.
Right.
And then a couple days later, her people called and said, you know, she said that. Can you remove that?
Yeah, so you don't.
So you don't, right, because she said that in the time she didn't say off the record. So you don't. So that's the something on the fence.
So yeah,
and
that's on the fence.
And I also think some of it
is a call on that.
Yeah. You got to make a call, but some of it also is it's Lady Gaga whose whole bit is I'm completely transparent, and what you get is what you see is what you get. I am honest with my fans, and I'm not holding anything back. I mean, that's why she's so outspoken and why she's willing to talk about drugs, because she says that's the connection she has with her fans is she's honest, right?
Right. Well, I think to agree. I mean, I think there's stuff that she's hiding. I'll give you another example. In the interview, and I'm so intrigued by this, and maybe we'll find out one day, but I could tell, like, when you interview anyone who's like that, who's really always exposing themselves, who's really questing for that sort of sexual attention in the way that she does, because she reminds me of a stripper in some ways.
Yes.
And what if a lot of strippers gone through some sort of, physical or sexual abuse? And I asked her about that. And she said, yes, but she can't talk about it because it's so horrific. She doesn't want her fans and her younger fans to have those images in her head.
Oh,
wow,
that's tough.
And she didn't say it was like that. And she said, by the way, just so we don't start any crazy rumors, that it wasn't her family, and it was kind of part of her being messed up in New York City and stuff like that.
We like to believe that all strippers are happy and come from a good place and really enjoy their work, and there's no emotional issues.
They're having a great
time. Do we really
time,
like to
Neil?
Believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
We have to believe that. Otherwise, it's blood money.
We choose
That's
to,
what we're paying
Neil.
For.
We choose
That's
to.
What we're paying for.
All right. We got to take a break.
Go ahead. I'll tell you later.
When we come back, author Neil Strauss is with us. Again, the book is called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. It's so, so interesting how many people you talk to. And we want to talk about Paris Hilton when we want to get back, and that's made a little bit of news. We want to talk about Courtney and Kurt and so much more from the book with Neil Strauss right after this on the Kevin.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I almost didn't come in today. I'm glad now that I did, because we got to play Dramarama Anything, and that makes my whole day. I mean, that's fresh.
That is sweet.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited to have author Neil Strauss back on the program. He's the one who wrote that book about banging all those chicks, if you remember. What was that one called, Neil? The Game?
The Game, yeah.
Are you prepared to announce to our listeners that was total BS?
Yes, I will tell you here today that...
All right. The new book is in stores now called Everyone Loves
by the way,
You.
That's horrible. I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah. I feel like it's horrible because guys, the first thing when they read that book, they say, was that all really true? Because I think people don't want to believe that like some schlubby, nerdy guy could actually be with beautiful women.
Especially a writer. Let's face it, writers exactly. are not known for the way they pull chicks.
Look at Arthur Miller.
Yeah. Everyone Loves You When You're Dead is the name of the current book from Neil Strauss. We've got a lot of names we want to run by you. And I also wanted to mention, you also wrote the current Rolling Stone cover story on Howard Stern. This is his third appearance on the cover, and you sat down with Howard for a long time. What do you make of that guy?
Man, I liked him a lot, and I liked him, you know, off the air. I just love talking to someone off the air, because then you really see who they really are versus, you know, on the air, they're still, even though someone opens up, it's a lot of sort of entertainment. But right. here's what I found. And I found this to be true of a lot of radio DJs, so I won't psychoanalyze you, but this is what I'm curious about. That a lot of people who become DJs grew up in families where they just weren't heard. They didn't have a voice. They couldn't openly express themselves, whether it was a strict father and mother, they just weren't listened to. Is that true of either of you guys?
I don't think that is. I mean, I certainly know where you're talking about with Howard. Right. I mean, he's spoken so much about, especially his father. But I don't think that was the case with me at all. But that's an interesting theory. I got to think about it. How about you, Kevin?
Bean's parents used to call my parents and tell them to shut me up.
One more Howard question. Is he deeply unhappy like so many famous people are?
You know what? I think it was interesting. At the end of the interview, I kind of said, you know, you've got all this stuff going on, which is amazing. You're on radio 24/7, two stations on the, you know, you've got wife, all this perfect life, yet you're still unhappy. Why is that? And he said, like, I've got this anger inside of me. I've got this anger that I can't put out. And I thought it was so
that sucks.
Fascinating. Yeah, and I think that's true. I think everybody gets some baggage early in life, and it's like, can you divest yourself of that baggage before you die? That's one of your goals in life.
Interesting. All right. I teased before the break. Everyone Loves You When You're Dead is the book again from author Neil Strauss, who's on with us from our Kevin and Bean affiliate station, Live 105 in San Francisco today. I teased Paris Hilton. And the reason I brought that up, as you probably know, Neil, is that that one has made some headlines because it's something that wasn't in the original article that was published, I assume, for Paris Hilton. But now that it's out, I imagine she's pretty embarrassed about it. Tell us what you wrote.
I think she was 19 at the time. There were a bunch of crazy things in it, but I can't even repeat them. Can you guys say them? They're so horrible.
Well, yeah. That black people are gross, and she doesn't like hanging out with black people. I mean, that was such a shocking thing to hear anybody say, and especially somebody like Paris Hilton.
It was so blunt, and I think at that time, you know, we were watching Saving Private Ryan, and she talked about making out with one of the guys, and then she saw him in, like, the light and realized, like, he seemed black or something.
Wow.
And then I'm like, how black does a guy have to be? She's like, 1% is enough for me. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, it was like one of the most odious things I've heard come from someone's mouth.
Here's two things that strike me about that. One is that's clearly stupid. But the other is, it's another level of stupid. I mean, most people realize the views that they have that are going to be, you know, upset
unpopular.
Other people. Unpopular. And they keep them to themselves. They don't just say them out loud. That's dumb.
Yeah, it was. I think there was a lot of statements along those lines over the course. It was just a nonstop barrage of those statements, and whether it was, I think some people like to get negative attention, and maybe it was that.
All right, what makes you interested in interviewing somebody like Paris Hilton, who you know before you go in is a zero?
Well, I love. Like, what I like is going into sort of to humanize. I like going into humanize someone to figure out what they're about, what makes them tick.
That's the opposite of what we do.
Where they come from.
We summarize her as a zero immediately.
And then we have no time for her.
But that's why it makes it interesting is all the people who are dehumanized.
Yeah.
And that's why Michael Jackson was fascinating. That's why sort of maybe Lady Gaga. That's why is you go and you find out what's it all about. You kind of, and maybe the interviews are good because you kind of empathize with them. You try and figure out where they're coming from and what they think they're doing.
Now, you talked to Tom Cruise. And you mentioned that he spent a lot of time talking to you about Scientology.
Yes, pretty wild. Go ahead.
What's your read on him?
I, you know what? I'll say that I really liked him when I met him. I don't understand the Scientology thing. We talked to him about it. He took me to the Scientology center. He showed me the rooms where guys are being trained in the e-meters. His mom was there, who was a practicing Catholic, but had decided to start taking Scientology courses.
Oh, no. You know that meant she's been kidnapped, right, Neil? Did you contact the authorities?
Yeah, seriously, and his sisters were doing it. Like, he's got everybody doing that thing. And we were just talking about this off air, but what I didn't understand is this. Like, okay, why, if there's some body, so he says I can learn a lot, it's helped me with myself. I'm like, cool, then why not just study it like people like good books versus like subscribing to it entirely and putting your whole reputation and giving them all this money and all that stuff. I just don't get that part of it.
So it's good self-help advice at the lower levels.
At the lower levels.
And everybody can use it, but there's self-help outside of Scientology. That was your
right,
question.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And he just said, you know, when I see something works, I want to get in there and explore it. And I didn't get that, but I've seen a lot of people, and I'm sure you guys have too, get recruited in different ways by the Scientologists. Can I say this without us all getting sued?
Sure. It's not us. I disagree with you strongly. I think it's a great religion. It's good for everyone.
So I'll give you two examples. You know, I've seen them get into one person and start to try to recruit them by offering them legal services. You know, in other words, you know, they'll find out what you want. You guys want to be number one in every market? They'll come to you and say, hey, you may not agree with us, but we got these people who can make you number one in every market.
I think
you'll be like, okay, I'll go along with that.
I think they wrote us off a long time ago when we kicked out their spokesman. So Tom Cruise is super passionate about it, though. And that didn't sway you at all. You just thought, well, that's strange.
What do you mean by sway me?
Well, I mean your view towards Scientology. You didn't understand it when you began, and you still didn't understand it after all that time and Tom talking to you about it.
Well, I understood it like the basic level. I understood here's how people can here's how persuasion works anyway. What you do is you agree with someone. You give them things that are true they already know. You start helping them a little bit till they trust you. And it was almost like two cars going parallel, and slowly one starts swerving, and you veer off with that car.
Right.
And that's the game. Right, and that's Scientology. They're almost so similar. And I saw them in the room with the E-meter people running scripts, just like routines that the pickup artists use in bars and clubs to meet women. These scripts that would get them toward their outcome based on the human psychology.
Interesting.
It's manipulation.
Interesting. Neil Strauss, by the way, that's not us. We don't think it's manipulation at all.
Yes, exactly.
Think it's helpful. And
everyone, Neil Strauss, author, write to HarperCollins with any complaints.
I don't need to have an intern go out and start my car, do I?
Exactly.
The book is called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. We're having such a good time. We still have so many more questions, Neil. Do you think we could convince you into sticking around for one more? Do you have that kind of time?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Fantastic.
Okay, fantastic. More with our guest after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to Book Club Thursday on The Kevin and Bean Show. The book today is Everyone Loves You When You're Dead from author Neil Strauss. I always have trouble saying the name Neil for some reason. It couldn't be a simpler name. I don't know what that's about.
It's pretty easy.
Must be some mail-in.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. Hey, what formats is the book available? I bought it through Amazon.com, but are you on all the digital platforms as well, Neil?
No, I should be, but I really want to make it good, so I'm working on that. So it's only in a book. Sorry,
okay,
you guys.
So far it's only old school. So if I have a friend who's a Kindle snob, well, he's just out of luck with your book, right?
He's going to have to actually carry some paper around.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's old school.
All right. We already have a few minutes left, so we're going to kind of shotgun some names and get some highlights maybe from the book, Neil. We hope this interview is so exhaustive that no one will feel the need to buy the book because it'll already heard all the good stuff.
Give it all away.
We talked about Paris Hilton and the Black Men a few minutes ago. The other excerpt from the book that's getting a lot of attention is Courtney Love. You're in a room with Courtney Love, and she pulls Kurt's ashes out from under the bed. What happens next?
Yeah, she pulls out this kind of metal thing and says, say hi to Kurt. It's all this, it smelled like jasmine, all these ashes. And she says,
Wait. Was she laughing?
Yeah. No, she was serious. She was like, serious. Just say hi to Kurt. It's like, here's my new toy.
Okay.
And she goes, and I talked to her about this afterward recently, a couple of days ago, by the way. So, and she wasn't upset that I said this, but she was upset that I did not clarify. So I'm going to clarify it now.
Okay.
That she did not and was not doing cocaine. So she wanted that to be clarified. But it is okay that she then said, it's too bad you don't do cocaine. Otherwise, I'd suggest taking a metal straw to it.
Okay, now.
And that was that moment to snort Kurt Cobain's ashes.
Right. And that, we had a conversation about that off the air, and it was like, you have to do that. Right?
But, well,
you
would
have,
you really?
You have to do, you're the only person I know had a chance to snort Kurt.
But just for the rest of your life, you think there's this dead person who I didn't have a relationship with who's inside me somewhere.
I'm saying I never had the opportunity. And if I did, I would feel the weight of humanity knowing that I have to do that so that I can then, you know, report.
Right. All I'll say is there may or may not have been someone else who later did it with him.
Okay, good.
Know. Oh, wow.
Let's talk about Snoop Dogg. What were your impressions of him?
Well, it was interesting. The best time to interview an artist is when they don't know what's going on. They're between albums. They're kind of lost. So what happened is after Tupac and Biggie got shot, he had left Death Row. And I went over to his place and he played all these songs about how he was angry at Suge Knight, how he feels Suge Knight was responsible for Tupac's death.
This was right after he left?
Yeah, right after he left. Like, everyone thought he was the next gangster rapper to be killed.
Right.
And how Suge Knight's wife had ripped him off. He was just angry. It was just another side of... Then he had me bootleg them all because he wanted me to leak them on radio. And so I have them all on tape.
Okay.
And then he went in my car, which is probably the stupidest thing I could do at that time in Los Angeles, in the passenger seat of my kind of cheap Pontiac, and we went shopping for Pampers.
For Pampers.
By the way, the difference between my job and your job is, like, I get to interview the animals in the wild.
Yeah. Were you looking to your left and right to see if Suge was pulling up?
Yeah, and the police, because he was lighting up, you know, a joint every 3 seconds.
Awesome. Bruce Springsteen, what was your opinion, and what was he about?
He's great. He is the only guy I've met who is so, I know they say it as a cliche, is so grounded and down to earth. Because even someone being humble, that's a form of pretentiousness, like, oh, I'm being humble. He was just, we went for drinks in New York. He got his drink on, and he said something really smart, which is, explains a lot of the craziness you read in the tabloids, which is, he said the leap of consciousness it takes to go from playing in your garage to playing for 50,000 people is something like the human mind is just not meant to comprehend. And that's why he was kind of in therapy at the time. And I thought it was an interesting thing to think about.
And he showed up with no people, no entourage, no PR people, nothing.
He just kind of rolled by itself, and it was like kind of going out with a regular friend. And and it makes you realize that these people who say they can't get out of doors, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Yes. You know, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, our friend Dr. Drew wrote that book about celebrities and the fame effect. And there are so many people who trap themselves inside their homes because they say they're so famous. And then there's people like Bruce Springsteen and Tom Hanks and others who will just walk around and do whatever they want to do because they figured out a way to make it work. And it is interesting to see how those some people deal with it when their fame gets more than they think they can handle.
Yeah, and I think that there's some element in there that's probably agoraphobic to begin with. Let me ask you something about Dr. Drew, because I'm so curious about this, so you guys would know.
Yes.
I like him. I think he's great. But he writes – it seems like he's getting so much attention on TV, on the radio all the time that does he have these problems in celebrities that he writes about? Because obviously he's become a celebrity himself and
meaning,
has pursued
does
it
he
so
need
voraciously.
It? Is that what you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, does he – is he – he's a symptom of the same disease that he says celebrities
I gotta
have.
Tell
I'm just
you,
asking.
I got to tell you, I'm not smart enough to answer that, first of all. But
yeah,
second of all, I would guess no. He seems like he is the most grounded person, smartest person I've ever met.
Right.
But I'll add as a PS to that, because we've had this conversation too, because, I mean, you're right.
We make fun of him all the time.
He's unbelievably famous. And by the way, Neil, you may not know this, not a real doctor. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that.
He is
actually not a doctor. But
let me add one thing. Anyone who puts doctor before their first name, I just don't trust. I don't know why. It's like, I just don't trust anyone. If you ever go to a doctor who does that, they want people to know so badly, they got to put it before their first name.
He's as much of a doctor as Dr. Dre is, I'll tell you that much. Here's the thing I'll say about Drew.
So that's weird. Right.
And other people have said, hey, what about him? Like you said, he's so famous. He's on TV. He's on radio all the time. I honestly think, and we've spent, you know, hundreds of hours with Dr. Drew over the years. We've worked together. I honestly think that he feels like he is helping and making a difference, and that's what drives him. Most of the time you see him on television, with the exception of his shows, his Teen Moms and his celebrity rehabs and stuff, most of the time he's doing it for free. And he's doing it for free. And he's getting up in the middle of the goddamn night to go on the Today Show again to talk about celebrities because he's trying to help people. And I really think that that's what motivates him, because he thinks this country has a lot of very serious problems. I think it's coming from a very good place.
And I really like him. I support that. I like everything he says. I agree with. But then we watch Intervention, and I feel like those interventionists are really helping people. And then you watch Celebrity Rehab, which is just a crazy show. That I don't know, but we'll talk about it off the air. I'm just fascinated. Here's the last moment, which is when he went on air, and I didn't see the show, but he did like a 1-hour special talking about Charlie Sheen.
Right.
Like, I just felt like that to me. That was when I kind of crossed. I felt like I crossed the line a little bit. So I don't know. We'll talk about it off the air. And I really like him and support him. I thought you guys would know.
No, I think that,
that makes me fascinated by him. I'm more fascinated by Dr. Drew than Charlie Sheen.
That is a legitimate. I mean, I think that's a legitimate comment to bring up about the Charlie Sheen thing, because he did not treat him, yet he had a lot of opinions because he's seen that kind of behavior in other people. But you should interview Dr. Drew. You know he'll talk to anyone.
I want to get into Dr. Drew's head, because why are you the guy who's going to tell the world what's wrong with Charlie Sheen? What gives you that authority? And I'm not saying that he's wrong or right, but there's something driving him. I want to know what it is. Let's get to the bottom.
You should ask him. I'm telling you, from our standpoint, he knows and he's right. I'm not smart enough to understand. All right, in the last remaining seconds,
okay.
Marilyn Manson, did you really soak in a hot tub with him?
Yeah, I was interviewing for Rolling Stone. The night before, he'd had a wild night. He made Billy Corgan snort sea monkeys and stuffed one of those glow-in-the-dark bracelets up
right.
Twiggy's...
Okay, got it. Right.
Okay.
Yes. So then he said, let's get in this hot tub, and you said, no thanks.
But I said, well, I said yes, and I found out later that just as an interview on my side may be manipulation, it was on his side as well. It was his first Rolling Stone cover story, and he knew afterward, he confessed to me when he did the book, that if he got me the hot tub, it would be great for the Rolling Stone story, because they used to do drugs
for
Dr. Hook song.
Yeah,
he's incredibly smart.
Prince told you that you could not record his voice. Is that true?
Yeah. He told me a lot of things, but yeah, we were at this kind of press conference. He took away all the journalists' tape recorders, but all the camera guys were recording. So I asked him about that during the press conference. He said, I'll tell you afterward. And after the press conference, he walked down, pointed to me. All the journalists were like in school, like, oh, look, you're in trouble. And so we had this weird conversation about it. I met him like a year later too, and he talked about like Jehovah's Witness stuff for like an hour. And but he's a fascinating guy. And I feel like a lot of those guys, they don't know how to deal with what's going on, and they turn to these strange spiritual things like Scientology and Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
And
but you said, wait, the video cameras you're fine with, but why not the audio?
Oh, yeah. And he said, well, I know the placements of those cameras, so I'll know who's recording it. Then I said, well, what if they only record the audio? And then he ended the interview. And here's the reason why, I think. If he's not recorded, he can always get out of things. He can say, well, I didn't say that. You know,
that makes sense.
Prove it.
Yeah, that
you know,
makes sense.
It's an escape.
Yeah.
We are completely out of time now, and I know that we've ruined your whole morning by keeping you so long, but what a fascinating interviewer you are, what a fascinating writer you are, and the book is great. It is called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. As long as you don't mind picking up an actual book, you will read this and you will enjoy it. Author Neil Strauss from the studios of Live 105 San Francisco. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Let's do it again soon.
All right, thanks for having me on.
I'm Nora Wells with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Nora. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Blah, 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 Kevin and Bean Show, blah, blah, blah. Here's Ralph Garman.
Well, Lisa May got hot. What happened?
What happened? Vitamins or something.
Something's going on. She's got some kind of night cream,
Lisa.
Or something. Whatever you're working on, keep slathering it on. That's all I'm saying.
It doesn't work in one day, but
I've got a trip to Las Vegas to give away.
What?
How about me? How do you like me now?
Do you like me as much as I like me?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Better than 20 million Christmas times.
It is. It's better than 20 million Christmas times.
That's true.
It is a trip to see the brand new show Absinthe happening at Caesar's Palace Hotel and Casino. Absinthe is the, it's just an unhinged show. It's a combination of vaudeville and a carnival and a circus, and there's acrobats and contortionists and acid. I think you take acid before you watch the show.
Are you positive all that happens, or were you on acid
trippy
when you saw it?
No, it's very trippy.
Right.
I've been looking forward. I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it. I had friends who saw the show originally in New York back in 2006, and now it's in Vegas at the Caesars Palace Hotel and Casino. It's called Absinthe. You can go to absinthevegas.com for more information. But I got a chance for you to go to see it, plus hotel, plus dinner for two at Caesars. All that just for being caller number 12 right now, 1-800-520-1067. Go check out the new show, Absinthe, in Vegas. And even if you don't win and you're in Vegas, check out the show, because it sounds awesome. Plus, anything to do with Absinthe, I'm in.
I hear you.
I like that green liqueur.
You know, King of Mexico is an illegal importer of that.
I know.
Yeah.
Remember one time we had the good bottle sent to the office and then it disappeared?
Yep.
We're like, oh, someone stole our Absinthe. Oh, it was me. I took it home. I didn't think anybody wanted it. How about accent next time, Dave?
But he probably sent it to the lab to make it bacon-flavored, right?
Yeah, probably did.
He ruined it somehow.
This is nice news. Our buddy Gwen Stefani has donated $1 million to the Save the Children organization. They've set up the Japan Earthquake Tsunami Emergency Fund for the children there. And $1 million of her personal money is being sent to relief.
That's bananas.
In that country.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas.
Put it
you
in the
mark that for the file, please.
No, but I'm saying, because it's
mug.
Gwen.
She's also designed a limited edition shirt that's going to be sold exclusively through NoDoubt.com. So all the proceeds from those sales will go to the emergency fund as well. They certainly could use the money, and it's a very cool thing for Gwen to do. Still working on that album with No Doubt, right? We're still expecting on that, right?
Yes.
Still have that coming, right?
Yep.
That to look
not
forward to.
At a rapid pace.
No.
Are they working on it?
They don't seem to be in a hurry.
No.
But you can't rush art, I've always said.
You've never said that.
Unless art is the guy behind the counter at my local delicatessen, and then I have rushed him because.
Now, why isn't that in the file? Why am I getting schooled for Gwen Stefani, and he's doing art at the deli jokes? Come on.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just seems fair.
It's an intangible. We can't really put our fingers on it, but we know it's true.
Because you spelled bananas, and it was a serious story about helping kids.
Yeah.
But it was Gwen Stefani. She had a song
where she sang
about bananas.
We understand.
All right, whatever with Japan. Let's get to some serious causes, shall we? Queen guitarist Brian May is asking us to save the badgers. It turns out the badgers in Wales, where he lives,
are spreading tuberculosis amongst the cows in that area. So local officials there have decided to cut down the badger population. I don't think they do it by asking them to move.
They don't?
No.
Eviction notice?
No, I believe there are badger traps involved, and Brian May is furious. He calls it an inhuman act of vandalism to be killing badgers by large numbers.
What if Sarah Palin shoots her from a helicopter?
From a helicopter, exactly. Then it'd be okay.
That sounds fair.
I did not know this when I did the story last hour, but apparently Brian May of Queen has recorded a song dedicated to the local badger population
there
in Wales.
That's not possible.
It is?
Nope.
And one of the listeners sent it to me, so I brought it in. Here's a little taste of the new Brian May song, simply entitled Badgers. From Brian May. It's from a website called BadgerBadgerBadger.com.
Who knew that website?
I had no idea until this morning.
How'd you find it?
Because a listener sent it to me and said, I think this would be a good song to compliment your badger story. Yeah, it's a little trippy. The video is even trippier when you go to watch
it. How can it be?
It's strangely captivating, though.
It is. It is very soothing after a while.
I think it's going to be a hit.
I feel like I'm having some sort of a seizure. What do the mushrooms have to do with it?
The guy thought of when he wrote this?
Wow! Inexplicably, the video is just several animated badgers jumping up and down, and then it will cut to a picture of a mushroom, and the guy will sing mushroom, mushroom, and then a snake pops up periodically, and then it goes back to the badgers.
I have a new ringtone.
Yes, you do.
I know that.
Thought you would appreciate that. And speaking of Rebecca Black, there is no truth to the rumor that she's doing a mall tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because that's been all over the news.
Who? Only for Bean has it been all over
well,
the news.
Well, I'm just saying she happened to be coming to the mall nearest to my house, and there was a date given and everything. And
Mr. Know-It-All.
No, not even though the story
plans to show up,
was picked up by media outlets all over the country. It turns out that that story is false. Even the New York Times ran with the story, but managers of several of the 17 malls that Rebecca was supposed to be booked at were contacted, and they said no event was scheduled, so apparently she's not doing a tour.
Look, after her appearance on The Tonight Show this week, Ralph, that you saw also, she shouldn't be doing appearances anywhere because she can't sing.
She might have dodged a bullet there by not attending at the malls.
I hope you cut yourself, and I hope you get an eating disorder so you'll look pretty, and I hope you go cut and die.
Yeah, okay. That's what fans are saying about Rebecca Black's work. Here's the thing. Who'd thought we would look back at Tiffany as the golden age of mall performances, really?
Yeah.
I guess you live and learn. Today's celebrity birthdays, Louis Anderson is 58 years old today, Laura Flynn Boyle is 41, Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is 38, Allison Hannigan's 37, Colts quarterback Peyton Manning is 35 years old, actress Lake Bell is 32. Badgers, 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 badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers,
badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badgers, badg
is to stab it in the brain with a wooden stick.
Hey, that's good advice, Dwight. Thank you very much for that. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. It is Book Club Thursday on the program. Ralph, there's a book you can't take out of your bathroom. In fact, you make up excuses, reasons to go back to the crapper because you love this book so much. What is it?
Yeah, I am not a big reader, primarily. I don't sit down and just read a book. But I do like to read in the bathroom. And there's very few things you can read in a bathroom that's satisfying. You can pick up a book and read, you know, a couple pages, then you got to put it back down and you don't read it again until you go back to the bathroom.
You forget where you were.
Exactly. But my new favorite book by far is called You Might Be a Zombie and Other Bad News, brought to you by the editors of Crack.com, the very funny humor website. And it is filled with absolutely true facts that you will find not only shocking but hilariously entertaining.
All of them are true?
All of them are true. It is really my favorite book, and that's why I talked to you guys. So we have to talk to somebody from Cracked because I love this book so much I can't stop reading it. I can't wait to go to the bathroom at least once a day so I can pick it up and then find something else new that I love.
I need to drink some more water.
Have you changed your diet to include much more fiber now?
I'm eating sawdust now, just so everything moves as quickly as possible.
It sounds like the kind of facts that if I told you them, you would say, thanks for the info, Bean, and shut up. But because it's in a book, all of a sudden it's interesting.
These are presented in an entertaining fashion, you see.
Oh, that's the difference.
And they're
true.
That's
the difference. All right, Oren Katziff joins us on the phone right now. He is the vice president and general manager of Cracked.com. Oren, that sounds like a fun job.
It's the best job in the world, honestly. I work with the best editors in the business, the best design, the best product, the best engineers in the business. I'm a lucky guy. And by the way, let me just say quickly, Ralph, if we knew you really felt this way about the book, that's the best quote we could get for our second book. Ralph loves to read it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's better than anything I've heard.
He invents reasons to go in there.
Makes great
crapper reading.
Here's my question, though. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Here's my question, though, Ralph, is if you like it that much that you're willing to take extra steps to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bring it out. I don't know.
Why not just move it into the living room? Right, I think that's a good point.
At the bathroom for me is a place where I can close the door. I can be alone. I can have a little peace and quiet.
Right.
And I can read my You Might Be a Zombie and Other Bad News.
Right.
Okay.
Best part of my day.
Your life.
Let's start with that, Oren. Tell us about the zombie apocalypse. It can't be true that 50% of humans are infected with a parasite that can take over your brain. Please tell me that's not a true fact.
It actually is. So everything in the book is true, and that is true. Now, the way you should read the book is that, you know, we have grown up in a protected environment. Your teachers, your parents, everyone has raised you in a way so that you'll be happy with life, so you won't be scared by your surroundings. We're just here to enlighten you. We're here to enlighten you with facts. These are true. And there's two ways you can perceive them. You can either be terrified and be afraid to get out of bed, or you can have a little bit of fun with it and laugh at it. And
yet,
it is true that the zombie apocalypse might be here, but we're here to educate you on how to prepare yourself for it.
So you're saying 50% of humans living on the Earth right now have a parasite that could eat their brain?
That potentially could, yes. That's 100% true.
And here's the cool thing, Kevin. It's called toxoplasmosis, and they know it exists in rats, okay? Because this disease knows that it can only breed inside the intestines of a cat.
Okay.
And so when it's on a rat, it knows it has to get inside a cat. So it takes over the rat's brain and makes the rat surrender to a cat so it'll be eaten.
That's absurd.
It controls the mind of its host, and that's what we have in our brains. 50% of us have that in our brains.
That's right, and it will make you exhibit zombie-like behavior if it takes over your brain, so it's absolutely true.
I don't buy it.
It's true.
It's true. It's in the book. They couldn't put it in the book if it weren't true, Kevin.
I want it to be true.
Ralph, what else have you learned while reading You Might Be a Zombie?
Some of my favorite categories are five awesome places to have sex that have horrific consequences.
Oh, vagina.
Which is great. No, it's locations,
Bean. I'm sorry.
Locations.
It depends on the vagina, actually.
Exactly. Thank you, Oren.
If you have sex in the woods, it turns out the smell of two people having sex is like ringing a dinner bell for a bear.
Fantastic.
How much of a bad idea is that?
Wow.
And also, Oren, can you tell us about the four great inventions we never would have known that were invented by people when they were high?
Yeah, you know, so there were a number of inventions there. You know, one was Francis Crick, who was on LSD when he basically invented the DNA and the DNA strand. And Doc Ellis, who pitched a no-hitter, of all things. I mean, how many times has a no-hitter been pitched? He pitched a no-hitter while on acid.
Was that in the World Series, too?
It actually wasn't in the World Series. It was a regular season game.
Okay.
It would have been even more amazing for the World Series. But You know, it just goes to show you we're capable as humans of amazing things, but maybe more capable of even more amazing things when we alter our brain a little bit. So we're not telling everybody go out and do drugs.
We are.
But hey, we've
got
a couple stories.
We're saying that.
So it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I have tried to convince my parents of that my entire life, that it helps creativity and everything else, and they're not buying it. So
you know what's great in here, too, Oren, is also the stories about Jesus as a kid.
Yes.
That they conveniently left out of the Bible.
Absolutely. And guys, you know, I don't know if you could tell by my name, Oren Katz, if I am a Jew. But okay. That might be news to you.
Sure.
But I didn't know a lot about Jesus. And frankly, I didn't feel like reading the Bible when I was young or any time recently. It's a very long book.
It is. Yeah.
So the cracked editors, God bless them, they came up with really all the stories you need to know about Jesus. Jesus was a dragon tamer. Who knew?
He was what?
Jesus could tame dragons.
Yes,
that is new.
Yes, you know, yeah, that's something not everybody knows.
Okay.
Another thing is, you know, he kind of had a little bit of a short temper with other kids who might have been, you know, to update it, playing with his toys, or even a kid who mistakenly bumped into him. He was killed. Which is, you know, today we're used to this kind of behavior. It's just about any NFL player, any weekend does this kind of stuff, right?
But you don't expect it from the Lord, though. I think that's the surprise of the book, because you're right. The Bible concentrates on age 30 to 33. There's a lot of unanswered questions before the crack.com people got a hold of it.
That's right. If it was stories about Ray Lewis, you would totally believe
sure.
it.
Sure.
Jesus was like a bully when he was a kid because he had all these powers and he could do it, you know, but he was a kid. If you came along and you, like, splash his water puddle that he was playing with, he would look at you and you'd wither and die.
Wither and die, exactly. But the nice story is there is a happy ending, as he did go back and reverse everything. So he did, there's a sweeter, nicer side to Jesus. Almost like he won the Super Bowl MVP. He kind of turned around.
Yeah.
The book is called You Might Be a Zombie and Other Bad News. We have VP and General Manager of Crack.com, Oren Katziff, on the phone. We don't have much time here, Ralph. Is there anything else in particular that you wanted to make sure to get out?
No, it's just, it's all broken into very easy to digest chapters, you know, that have titles like Five Ways Your Brain Is Messing With Your Head, which is absolutely true. There's stuff going on in your brain all the time you don't even know about. Fight moves that only work in the movies. There's just a list after list of horrible food additives you've probably eaten today. Just a great list of very funny, very interesting facts that you can read easily on the toilet, as I mentioned. It's a great book, and I recommend it highly.
There's a lot of good news and a lot of bad news in the book. Hey, great work, Oren. Thanks so much, man. I don't know what you got planned next, but keep us posted, all right?
We absolutely will. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. I hate to scoop him on a new story, but I can't help but mention Tommy Lee is coming back to reality television. Did you watch the last show, the Tommy Lee Goes to College, Kevin? Remember that one?
I did. I watched it for about 2 minutes.
Yeah?
And then I was out.
He went to, if I remember correctly, it was like the University of Nebraska or something like that, and he went back to school, and then, of course, he got all the chicks because he was a hot rock star. But he's coming back to reality TV, and this one sounds a little bit different. This one is going to be called Culture Shock with Tommy Lee, and it's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel.
What?
And we wanted to find out more about what Culture Shock is, so we asked producer Alex to line up our friend Tommy Lee, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tommy!
Yeah! Ripping and tearing in the good morning area. All right, you're ripped.
What is, I'm not sure I understand the synopsis as I've heard it described, but what is Culture Shock with Tommy Lee? What are you going to be doing?
Well, you know, man, life's like a hotel, and I'm ordering jet fuel on room service, because, sci-fi. All right.
Let me try and explain it, Bean.
Okay, please.
I have an article in front of me. Apparently, Tommy is going to uncover various rituals, symbols, and other mysteries of secret societies.
That's right, because secret societies are off the chain, so go for it.
So what? This would be like, we've always heard stories of the Illuminati, for instance, this small group of white men that run the whole world. Would you try to find out more about that and interview people and try to get to the bottom of a story like that?
That's right, man, because, you know, the world isn't just as simple as it may seem. It's like mysteries come at you. Everything is different. Everything can be cherished, like an Asian girl with big cans, rocking and rolling. All right.
Tommy, do you have confidence that you can handle this subject matter?
Hey, sometimes confidence is all you got, because life is like a razor blade. Cut it up.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense. What about something like the Da Vinci Code, something that's been made into some very, very popular movies? A lot of people think there's much to be learned from, you know, from those ancient symbols.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the type of thing you'd be interested in?
Sure. You know, Rippy Ripperton and shred it on up, because there's the Da Vinci Code. Tommy Lee's delivering the Da Vinci load. Yeah.
Here's the quote, Tommy, that you gave from the Sci-Fi Channel publicity. Maybe you can expand on this. This is the first show that I've been a part of that will blow our minds and reveal things that will explain almost all our questions. What do you have in mind when you say that?
Listen, bro, life is a freeway. I'm in the fast lane. Keep going for it, you know? Rock and roll is like a way of life. And if I'm going to blow your mind with revealing stuff, I'll reveal it right in your face. Explode it. Rock and roll. I'm going to be on Sci-Fi. Life is like a hi-fi. Turn it up.
All right, I don't know that we're any clearer than we were before.
Yeah, I can't see Tommy being the guy to ask the deep probing questions that are going to get some of these mysteries unsolved. I really
don't. Remember, hey, it's all like, hey, life is a forest, man, and I'm hunting beaver. Pow.
All right. We're going to have to get back to you with what our scientists believe you're talking about tomorrow.
Hey, man, have you heard my new Badger song?
That's yes, you? We have. Good work, Tommy.
What? Rock and roll.
Mushroom. Best thing you've done in a while, Tommy. Thank you for playing that for us.
Badger,
Tommy, we gotta go. Thanks, Tommy. We're out of here. We gotta go.
Badger.
I haven't agreed with you this season on American Idol on Pia, Ralph. But I will tell you that she sure knows how to wear an evening gown.
Man.
Doesn't she?
She walked on stage last night. It was like watching a woman walk on a stage for her own concert. She just she comes out. She's stunning, and she's got giant cans, and she's beautiful, and she just walks out and just like, wow.
If that's what you're looking for.
If you're into that kind of thing,
It was a little hard for me to root for the werewolf like I am most weeks on American Idol. And I do love Casey Abrams, but I got to tell you, I did not think he was great last night. I thought your Pia really, really brought it.
So you don't clap for the wolf, man?
Don't clap for that.
That was awesome. I'm not even going to suggest that goes in the file. That was so awesome. It was perfectly placed. Are you kidding me? All right. That's AI talk. And I know, Kevin, that was tough for you to endure that 30 seconds of chit-chat between office workers. But time now for the rest of the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Pia Toscano. Seriously. Man.
And what's your catchphrase? What are you going to get going for Pia like you did with the McFever?
I love me as some Pia.
I'm not sure that's... No? It doesn't really roll off the tongue much.
I pee on my pants.
No.
No, that probably doesn't work either. Toscano, oh my God, you're so hot. I can't find something pithy. That's the problem. I can't just...
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough to create a nickname.
Cara mia pia. How about that? It's all Italian. It all works in there. It all comes together.
Yeah.
Cara mia pia.
Get back to us on that one.
All right. Before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to answer some of my critics who are saying, Ralph, that Badger song has been around forever, and you're just now enjoying it and getting around to it, way to stay on top of things, to which I can only answer, blow me. So I didn't have an Ethernet cable stuffed in my ass for the past decade. Sorry. Sometimes I go out in the world and I do things, okay? I'm not constantly online. Occasionally, one or two things will get past me. I apologize for not knowing more about the Badger song before today.
So you're saying while the nerds were enjoying the Badger song, however long ago it came out, you were having sex with women.
That's right. So excuse me. I heard that the other day, that funny catchphrase by Steve Martin, by the way. I think it's very
clever. He's an up-and-coming comedian.
Yeah,
I think you'll like it.
That's right, yeah.
Badger.
I just like Badger. I just like the song. That's all. I'm sorry.
Mushroom. I hope Pia sings this next week on Idol.
Oh, you're the best. Look out, a snake's gonna come soon. Look out for the snake. What is happening there? I don't know, but I want some E and a glow stick. That's all I know. So there's your Badger song. You can find it at badgerbadgerbadger.com. People have been asking where you can find that. And I think we're going to put it on the website as well. So there you go. Here's your Badger update.
It's been out for years, and you don't know about it.
Bite me. Weezer's going to be on the MTV sitcom The Hard Times of RJ Berger. Dan was asked to be on the show because the fictional high school where RJ is a student is called Pinkerton High.
Oh.
Named after the title of Weezer's second album. And Weezer said, oh, that's quite the compliment. Thank you. We'll come and do your show. They're going to perform their latest single, Hang On, plus the Pinkerton track El Scorcho on the show. The second season of the show begins tonight, and Weezer's episode will air in a few weeks. So if you're a Weezer fan, you want to make sure to catch that. Casting news. Ed Harris has been named as the actor who will play John McCain in the upcoming HBO film Game Change about the 2008 election. It was widely reported that Julianne Moore was going to play Sarah Palin, but they hadn't cast McCain yet until yesterday. Apparently, Ed Harris has been tapped. Good choice.
Really good. Great actor and looks like him.
Yeah.
Now, if he can just do the voice, my friends. No, he's not an Arab.
Don't get that down. no word yet on who's going to play Obama, but we'll have to wait and see. That's not an easy role to cast. I can't think of an actor, really, who could play Obama.
Well, I hope they don't give it to Fred Armiston.
Yeah, he's not good on Saturday Night Live.
Not good at it. And how crazy is it they have black guys on SNL, but they give the white guy the Obama role?
Yeah.
It's weird.
And Blair Underwood's busy playing him on The Event.
Sure.
So yeah, he can't do it. He's busy.
Now, Kevin, I know you are never the audience for these political movies that they make because you lived it and you don't want to revisit it yet. But there was so much fascinating drama that went on during that campaign. I think there's a lot there to make a good movie about.
All right. Enjoy that.
Kevin is still not on board.
Let me know how that goes.
Why can't we get Kevin on board with anything? He does not like things.
He likes soccer. That's it.
That's all there is?
I like hockey.
Hey, tie, woo! Tie, soccer, woo!
I have very different tastes than both of you.
Yeah,
that's
but you
I
don't
know.
Have many tastes.
I do.
You're a man of simple tastes.
Well, that could be true.
You're a simple man of simple tastes.
That could be
But what are you into besides soccer and hockey?
Football, basketball,
NBA,
peanut butter jelly,
South Park.
Okay.
Chicago Code. I love Chicago Code.
There you go.
That's
there's
a
Chicago
show you
Code.
Like. There
That's a great show.
You'll be interested to know that Jennifer Beal was on American Idol last night. She was in the audience. She's on Chicago Code. See, it all ties in.
That's not very interesting, no, I got to be honest.
Sony Pictures has announced they are making a movie about Harry Houdini. Would you be interested in that, Kevin? World's greatest, most legendary magician, Harry Houdini?
If it looks good.
Oh, all right. You know, he performed in the 30s and whatnot.
Why not? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised Kevin doesn't hate magic.
Because it's old?
Yeah, because it's old.
There's no word yet on who's going to play Harry, but they've been working on this biography for a long, long time, and now they've put it into the fast track. They want to get it made, so it's interesting to know.
I hope it's not Fred Armisen.
By the way, Houdini's last surviving assistant passed away yesterday. Dorothy Young was her name. She was the last assistant Houdini performed with before he died in October 1926.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
She was 103 years old. 103 years old was Dorothy Young. How ironic is her name? Interested in that, Kevin?
Nope.
More casting news. Eliza Dushku's got a new TV show.
I'm interested in.
She's been added to the cast of the new Damon Wayans sitcom on CBS.
Oops.
Yep. He's going to play a sports talk show host. And she'll play his female counterpart on the show. Whew. Radio sitcom with Damon Wayans and Eliza Dushku.
Is he locked into that project?
I believe he is, yes.
I had occasion, don't ask me why for context, but I had occasion to type the word Wayans into my iPhone the other day. And you know how it autocorrects your phone, autocorrects you all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Wayans not being in their dictionary, it corrected it to Satan's.
Aha!
Went from Wayans to Satan's.
Coincidence?
I think not.
MTV has announced there are more real worlds in the works. The one in Las Vegas is currently airing is season 25, by the way.
Wow.
Casting is undergoing for the next three sessions. There'll be a 26th season they're casting right away, then 27th and 28th also.
I get no buzz off the real world and haven't for years. It seems like in the age of Big Brother and Jersey Shore, the real world just seems quaint.
I think it has a lot of fans, but it is sort of now just comfort traditional watching. It's something that people just do almost out of habit. Like Big Brother. Big Brother's been on forever. People just seem to tune in, but not without much fanfare, I think.
Remember when there used to be names that you recognized in the Real World cast, and they did stuff that made news? It's so under the radar now. But MTV doesn't let anything go. If they put a show on the air, you know, look at Jackass. They still run eight times a day, haven't made any new episodes in 10 years. But, I mean, MTV just hangs on.
Well, it's so cheap to make. Why should they?
Right.
It's easy and cheap to make, and I'm sure it still does very well in the ratings, even though it's not a pop culture phenomenon like it was when it first started. I'm sure Jersey Shore will have many lives, too, and probably many casts and many incarnations. I'm sure that will go on and on and on.
Sure.
Our grandchildren will be watching Jersey Shore with Snooki's grandchildren.
Ew.
Little baby Snooki's.
Elizabeth Taylor, of course, passed away yesterday. That was in the news. And now the Westboro Baptist Church has announced they plan to protest her funeral because she was an AIDS activist and, what they're calling her, an enabler of the evil gaze.
Well, she did try to save lives of people who were sick.
That bitch.
So, you should definitely protest her funeral.
Friends and relatives of Elizabeth Taylor say, bring it on. They will be protesting back at them outside the church, so that should make it a nice circus.
That's the response most people have with them is just, F you.
Yeah. Speaking of Elizabeth Taylor, I thought it was very funny that Gilbert Gottfried tweeted something today.
Oh, no.
That I thought was very humorous.
Oh, no.
Gilbert Gottfried said,
I have to do it in Gilbert's voice.
Okay.
I'm holding off on Elizabeth Taylor jokes until I found out what insurance company she used.
Which is very funny, since Affleck fired him after those Japanese disaster tweets. He made those jokes. So, see? Gilbert's still funny.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Louis Anderson is 58 years old today. Actress Laura Flynn Boyle is 41. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is 38. Allison Hannigan turns 37. Colts quarterback Peyton Manning is 35 years old, and actress Lake Bell celebrates her 32nd birthday. We talk about it a lot here, but not too much on the air. If you're not watching Children's Hospital and Adult Swim,
so good.
You're missing out on one of the funniest 15-minute shows on television. Lake Bell is in that. She's gorgeous and very, very funny. She's 32.
I think it's the funniest 15-minute show on television. I'm not even going to say one of. I think the funniest 15-minute
show. You are bold, sir.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin DeMeade Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program, Petros Papadakis. We'll be in talking about the NCAA March Madness,
which starts tonight.
We have Emily Browning in studio tomorrow.
Sucker Punch!
Yep.
Oh. Did you see that, Ralph? I know you were trying to this week.
I could not get to it tonight. Last night I was supposed to go, and then the baby was sick, so all plans went out.
Is that code?
No, my baby was sick.
Movie beat tomorrow, it's Friday. LaQuisha will take a look at Jersey Shore, the season finale. Very sad. Very sad to see it go. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and he's going to I guess he's going to be a judge on Shark Tank, and he's got some kind of weird man love with Charlie Sheen. I don't know what's going on with him.
He's talking about bringing him onto the HD network, talking about giving him a show.
I don't blame him, but yeah, come on now. Michael C. Hall on tomorrow's show.
Wow, that's a lot of show.
How about that?
It's crazy.
It's too much. It's all tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin.